Is that another box?
Does this ever stop?
It's either me or the toys, or the toys, or the toys, or the toys, or the toys.
Welcome to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us.
Toy collecting!
Transform on the
There. Here we are. Can everybody hear us? Make sure everything's kosher before Pete takes his chair.
Yeah, I guess
all right, welcome everybody to episode 310.
We're rolling.
Of the My Wife is Gonna Kill Me podcast. Oh, I am Lord Steve Bisciotti, and we're back. We're back. The main crew is half back, but we've got upgrades for the team today. So Ben Talmadge, it's been a while since he's been on the podcast, but he's here today. How you doing today, Ben?
Fantastic.
Ben astutely noticed that as soon as he sat down, he was sitting right by a pack of small hands.
Perfect.
Which is perfect for Ben. They're almost interchangeable with his own hands. Across the table from him, we have Joe Crazy Bill.
Hey, everybody.
He's here. It's going to help. We're going to have a good show.
Look over there.
And next to him and across from me is Pete McCarthy. How you doing today, Pete?
Hey, good morning, Steve. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, your mic doesn't sound like it's high enough.
That would be the first time ever that.
Give it a weed gummy.
Right. Careful though, if you get too high, you get drooly.
I can't hear shit. So can you loop me? Gotta tuck it around there, Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, we're kind of a mess today. I don't know.
Let's see if we can make this harder than it needs to be.
It worked.
Testing 1 2 testing. I something, I guess.
Okay.
Alright.
Here. Let us know if Pete's got issues.
About the sound.
Alright. Okay. Bit of a mess today. Cody's gone. Cody's in a third world country or something because he seems to have just dropping off the map as far as our group chat is concerned. Travis is selling toys. Jeremy DeWitt and I went out one night. Went and did some musical bingo. And, see, I've been sick for like 4 weeks, and it's been one of those things where I feel like I'm getting better, and then I drop down, and I get worse, and then I get better, and then I get worse, and I get better. I was having a better spot. I thought I was on my way out, but that night I coughed my guts out with Jeremy. Right on him. I coughed right on that guy. I mean, he was sitting next to me, and every time I coughed, I turned my head right towards his beautiful bearded face.
Did he open up his mouth and you just baby bird him with all that mucus?
Ben's mic sounds a little rough.
Yeah.
Talk, Ben. I don't
know. Yo. Hello? Hi?
Or is,
hi?
It just, is maybe my volume just too loud? Go ahead. Do it.
Hi? Hello?
That's better. Yeah, maybe it's just distorted because of my volume.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I can't hear any. I can't hear myself now, but who the hell knows what's going on?
See, that's just weird that you can't hear yourself.
Huh. I can hear it. It's just not. All right.
I'm sure someone will let us know if one of us sounds like shit.
Yeah, I don't have a, or they all will, like all at the same time, like, as if pretending they're all the first.
Right.
Like, hey, thanks guys. What is this, the cabal? We'll just say the same thing over and over again with blatant disregard to people. So, yeah.
Despite our disarray, we do have some fun stuff to talk about, I think. But
yay,
yeah,
toys.
I've been sick. I'll tell you what, being sick for this long sucks. I may have a coughing fit today. It happens, where I just cough my guts out till I almost pass out. And then I could be fine for a while.
And then somebody's going to have to blowjob revive him. So.
That's,
1, 2, 3.
Not it. That's why I picked this side of the table.
Limbering up.
Blowjob, I don't care who, but if it's a hand job, I prefer Ben. Just because of those, you know, small softies.
He's warming them up. Oh. Those IT guys, man. They got the strength, but they don't have the calluses from like a mechanic.
Oh, yeah.
That's, yeah.
It's odd you know that.
What?
It's odd that you know that.
Nicole and I talk.
Okay.
You know, come on.
Before I was just basically always behind a desk or not working, not doing physical labor, I used to be able to shake people's hands and be like, that guy's a pussy because his hands are soft. Oh. His hands felt so soft to me. But now that I've lost all my calluses and I'm a big pussy too, I don't feel it anymore.
Yeah. Desensitized.
Yeah. I don't have the man hands anymore. Except in size and girth. But, yeah. We all want size and girth. Ben, how you been? How you been, Ben?
It's been crazy. I feel like, it's been a long time since I've been on the show, in like on the official show.
Yeah, Maverick actually pointed that out.
It's, that's extremely surprising.
Because he knows everything.
Well, it was actually episode 175. He popped in by a phone call. Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's life. Life has been crazy. Work is good. Kids are good. Looking forward to some big changes this year. And getting out of the toy slinging business.
Really?
Yep. So that's my big announcement. Not going to sling toys anymore.
You going to go legit?
No. I want to get back to collecting. Just collecting and enjoying hanging out with everybody. You know, I feel like when I go to the shows and I want to attend and I want to be present and hang out with everybody and
The pressure to make the money and make the deals and
Watch the table and the money thing, like that's not even a big deal, but it's like it's all the logistics of setup, tear down, watch your table, make sure you got it covered for bathroom breaks. And I miss the days of just hanging,
being one of the guys
and, you know, shooting the shit with everybody, getting to know everybody. And
when is a con promoter going to provide staff to cover booths for bathroom breaks? Wait a minute. MuskeeCon does that. Ooh. Along with going around and taking lunch orders and delivering them back to the booths.
Hmm. Amazing.
Trailblazer.
Yeah. Amazing.
Unless you're Jeremy, you don't get your lunch.
Or Old Man Kyle.
Old Man Kyle doesn't deserve lunch. Old Man Kyle, but see, the difference is Jeremy actually ordered a lunch and didn't get it. We all ate lunch. Kyle wasn't allowed to eat the lunch, but then was upset that he didn't get any of the lunch that he wasn't allowed to have. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Speaking of, couple of weeks, man.
Yeah.
MuskeeCon 6. It's exciting. Added like 25 new vendors. So, if you remember last year, we had the two kind of the rooms off to the side, the panel room and the gaming room, gone. All opened up for vendors.
Nice.
So, all 15,000 square feet will be chock full of vendors. Panels will be down the hall where the old MuskeeCon was. And the night before, that's also where the Mythical Midwest meetup is going to take place. So, cash bar. Some door prizes just for showing up. Wolf King Customs stepped in, sponsored the event.
Hell yeah.
So there's going to be a giveaway to the first 50 people that walk through the door.
There is.
I'm going to say it. It is a Stephen Bashotti sculpt. So he absolutely crushed it, and it's going to be awesome. Wolf King's printing, so you know it's going to be nice. Quality. And
which is going well. It's been printed. Lens it looked great, but he didn't get the size quite right. Okay. So he's gonna redo it in a different size and it should be fantastic. So
I got no worries about that at all. So
is it gonna be cool. like a troll size head for a
can't tell you.
For
can't
a
tell you.
Like
can't tell you.
It's it is
can you
for a you know a
can
two,
you mention
2.0
whether
body.
Or not it's exclusive
so it's to
scale.
MuskeeCon. It is exclusive to well it will be
it's
it is to start.
Pete owns
so.
The
got it.
The file, so
Nice.
But, well, when he pays me, he does.
Steve.
But I haven't told him to pay me, so it's not on him.
He still hasn't told me what he owes me. Or what I owe him, excuse me. But yeah, no. And then he also did some variations of the sculpt for me. So with the hopes to add a little spice to Legion's Con. I'm working hard, Joe Crazy Bill, to become the Matt Rodriguez of aftermarket parts for Mythic Legions. Like, I just throw an idea out into the ether, and then I pay somebody.
And everybody else does the work.
Yeah. Top to bottom. I go, hey, Steve, I like this. And he goes, bam. And he sculpts it. And then I was like, I've got a 3D printer. I'm going to print it. No, I'm not. Hey, Len.
Right, so, yeah.
You're
going to be the king of delegation.
Yes. But if you think about it, that's what my life is. Yeah. I mean, that's what my day job is. I don't get to do a lot of the fun stuff that I used to anymore. I hate other people do it. And so
nice.
It came out absolutely awesome. And I gave him a couple of variations that I thought came out super cool. And then he said, hey, I've got an idea for a variation, which I think came out absolutely awesome. But yeah, so like I said, just kind of I go to Legion's Con and I've always wanted to contribute more and like actually have something of my own. So like I said, I paid other people for something of my own. Jeremy is one of the most, you know, I'm surrounded by creative people, and Jeremy is so creative. And we got talking on the way back from PowerCon about hooking up to do something, and we got all these cool ideas. And I had some ideas before that I've worked with Emil. He's actually sculpted some things for me in the past, and it's time to quit burning matches and actually set something on fire. So hopefully.
Nice.
So are you on Shooting the Shelf tonight?
I am. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Curtis Ackerman, C. Ackerman, and Curtis A. The four of us are going to do Shooting the Shelf. And I'm kidding. Of course, it's Jesse's show that Curtis has just taken over, like he does my hotel room every year at Legion's Con. But, yes, so I'm going to be on at 8 o'clock tonight, and I'm going to be on Legion's Lair, I think, too, after Mesquite Con.
Yeah, I'm doing the pre-party.
Yeah, so Brad reached out, and he's like, hey, are you available this date? And it's like fucking July or some shit. And I said, yeah. And he's like, cool, we got Steve coming on to talk about Mesquite Con. I was like, wow, you are as dumb as you look. Good call. Let's not get the guy who runs it. So, I mean, if you really wanted the details for Mesquite Con, he would have got Curtis on, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. So I'm excited. I hopefully it'll be another good event. I fell short of the glory again this year, like I do every single year as far as the planning process. Life gets in the way, and I'm hoping I was working with the venue to try to be able to secure a date prior for 25 prior to this year's event, because my dream would be to send my eldest daughter, who is helping me with some of the logistics at the event, around to every booth. Hey, are you interested in returning? Here's your form. You know, give them the same prices this year and kind of start the ball off right. But the convention center will not commit, will not allow me to commit more than 6 months ahead of time, because they're in the business of the week-long conventions.
Right.
They want people in there Monday through Thursday, Monday through Friday. They want to book out the hotel along with it. I can book a year out, but I have to book 250 hotel rooms along with it, which isn't going to happen. But there's a lot more hotel rooms this year because, man, there are people traveling all over our country from other countries. I'm super excited to see a lot of these people. Billy Bays and Curtis Ackerman and David Williams and the Legion Lair guys and Malcolm Kennedy and Maverick and Frank and the Gonzalez, Frank and Anna and the Gonzalez. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of the people that are coming, and it's going to be fun. I really think that, I really hope that the Mythical meetup will, two things. It will A, give people a small taste of what Legion's Con is. And that will be better than what they had before. Hey, you know what? I can't make it to Legion's Con, but this sated my appetite a little bit, right? For the people that maybe just will never make it to Jersey. Now, that being said, I also hope that they're like, this is really cool, and maybe they go, you know what? I've got to be at Legion's Con.
Yep.
And like I said, it's going to go one of two ways. But I mean, Dennis Derby's talking about coming. He's just on the other side of our little pond. Eric Miller is going to be set up there. You know, Wolf King Customs, Eric Miller. Frank Lira is actually doing a booth.
Is he? Yeah, that's cool.
He's got a booth. For some of his customs and what have you. So yeah, it's just it's super cool. And if I say my dream out loud, it may still come true. But I wonder if we can't turn this into what Legion's Con was a few years ago when they were hooked up with New Jersey Toy Con, where we have Mesquite Con on Saturday, and then on Sunday we have kind of a full day Legion's event with vendors and what have you. And I think that we have that potential, but toe in the water this year, get a bunch of Legion's heads together and chat and have a good time. Jeremy Gerard is going to be there, which makes me super happy because he wanted to attend last year, but they've got so many events he didn't make the cut. This year he's going to be there. Jim, of course, is going to be there. He absolutely loved Muskegon. He comes back for the people. You know, he has such a good time hanging out with everybody, and he's so... You first meet that guy, and you're like, look at this curmudgeon. He's, he's the old guy, right?
Yeah.
Everybody, you're like, oh, he's the numbers guy that says, no, you can't have fun with that treadaway because it doesn't make dollars and cents. And then you shake his hand, give him a hug, and you're like, this guy's awesome. You know, and he, like I said, he just, the way he was last year, drawing the names out for the dios, and the way he was with all those little kids, he's just an awesome guy. So I'm so excited he's coming back. I'm still, fingers crossed, holding out hope that Cornboy will make it, but we're talking probably less than a 1% chance at this point. So, but again, like I said, until we absolutely know for sure, until he says, hey, I'm not coming, I'm going to hold out hope that maybe he'll feel up to making it.
So, I'd love him to make it, but, you know, his health is number one.
Absolutely. So, I mean, number two, but yeah. the dream would be eventually Cornboy is obviously on the mend and feeling better, and it allows for Treadaway to come as well. I would love to have
the whole crew.
All three mm-hmm. of them here, yeah. Plus anybody else they're willing to send.
Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, looking forward to it. Isn't
Trevor coming?
I believe so. Wow. Yep.
Oh, nice.
So 1-6 Shooter will be there. And like I said, I was leery to even start dropping names just because I've talked to so many people. I know I forgot people, and I apologize if I did, but yeah, there's just people coming from all over. So.
And it's just going to be a great time to hang mm-hmm. with these people. I mean, talent aside, I mean, if they're coming in a vending capacity, you're going to see the talent and, you know, the fruits of their labors, which is amazing to see. But just hanging out with these people in real life yep. is just absolutely amazing.
One of the other things I want to mention too is we will have some Cabal creations from Pang Studios. I never get that right. The amazing Dusty Staniford is going to be there. We're going to have, I think, 5 of his books to give away at the Mythical Meetup.
Nice.
He's got a booth selling stuff as well. Every time I think about it, there's just Drunk more Gizmo. And more. Yep, Drunk Gizmo's got a booth. He actually came last year. And then also, too, due to illness, unfortunately, had a booth open up. So Curtis Ackerman and Jesse Arnold are not just repping Wolf King Customs. They're actually going to have space to have their own creations as well, which is going to expand.
Awesome.
There's a corner of this room, this vendor hall, it's just mythics, man. So.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And I want to say, as far as Wolf King Customs is concerned, last year at MuskegonCon, first time we had any kind of a connection with Legions, we had just a smattering of parts and thrown out on a table, and it was just, you know, it was a small thing we did for Wolf King, but we're bringing a lot of stuff. They're bringing, Jesse is bringing, and Curtis, and, you know, I'm obviously going to help them set up and whatnot, but they're bringing a big setup for Wolf King Customs here. It's going to be way more extravagant. So it's not going to be just, you know, hey, we just threw a box of parts out. You can dig through them.
Well, that's the hope, right? I mean, last year's event, Wolf King has come in. I'm like, okay, that was a big deal to me. And maybe Len and them don't see it that way just because they do this all the time. But as the promoter to my show, like, Wolf King wanting to be a part of that was a big deal to me. And
you're welcome.
And an even bigger deal moving forward, not only wanting to come back, but wanting to hook up and do some event stuff, and then to know that they're coming and bringing the pain this year, that means enough to me that they had a good enough show last year, had a good enough time to be able to expand on that, and that's ultimately what you want.
Yep.
You know, so like I said, as a promoter, that's super exciting. But and then Retro Rags on the other end of Horsemen. So you've got your apparel, you've got your figures, you've got your accessories, unpainted and painted, full on customs. I mean, that whole corner is going to just kick ass.
Nice.
So
it'll be right crowded.
What?
It's going to be crowded.
It's going to be crowded. So
in a good way.
Yeah. And, you know, in last year, too, like, there was a little line for figures. And it was a little line, but at my event, there was a line for Mythic Legions. And I thought that was super cool. And by little, I mean little, like 12, 15 people, right?
And go ahead.
And now this year, I'm like, I know of 20 people that are coming out of state that I didn't count in that group last year. Mm-hmm. So I'm really anticipating them, that line being where I can look and go, wow, these people are here for the Horsemen. They're here for these figures. They came to my event. So I think last year gave us a street cred.
We got to mention Travis. Mm-hmm. I mean, my wife's going to kill me. His booth is going to be there. He's going to have figures, and he's running the street team for the Horsemen. Mm-hmm. So
I'll try. He did that last year, right?
He did that last year, yeah. It's pretty cool. The Horsemen, you know, last year seemed like they wanted to hang out, so they were like, hey, run our booth. You know, kind of.
And that's, essence. They were there socially. It was awesome. And it was one of the funniest moments of last year was that we got a message from Cornboy, and he goes, hey, I'm at the Muskegon Airport. You guys don't have Uber? No, we don't. So of course, and we fault him sometimes because A, he tried to die on us, and 2, he's a DC fan. I looked at Mike Smith. Mike Smith took off. Boom, flew over to the airport, got Cornboy, brought him back. Mike Smith has 2 trucks. He has an older, like a 3/4 ton gold 4-door diesel, right? And like a work truck. And then he has this badass lifted F-150 that's beautiful, right? And he come back, he's like, man, picking up Cornboy, I wish I would have had my nice truck. So we got a good chuckle out of that. But
If you can't make it, if you're more of a Midwestern person and the New Jersey trip is too far away, this is your chance, man, to have some fun with some Mythic people and meet a lot of the, you know, quite a few people that are into that community.
Right. I've got a sneaky suspicion that that Mythical meetup is going to be a pretty full room.
I hope so.
So, and how I set it up too is we're doing some. You know, some high top cocktail tables, some regular, and then all around the edges, they're just throwing up rectangular tables. So if people got stuff they want to bring in, bins, they want to do trade, they want to show off, they want to talk. It just, like I said, it's just about creating a space. Like I said, cash bar, and then we're gonna do some sort of probably more of an appetizer type thing. The convention center frowns on doing alcohol without something to put in your stomach, so. It may be little slices of pizza. It may be a little pretzel bar with hot pretzels and regular pretzels, or it might be just meat and cheese and veggies, but it'll be something to so we don't get too drunk in their eyes,
right.
Which I'm like, I'm going to be there at 2:00 and I start loading with a double whiskey in my hand. So there's no celery that's going to stop that convention center, but it gives you the warm and fuzzies, you know. A couple other things too is I dialed back. The vendor hall used to be open until 9 on Friday. I cut that back to 8. So much gets done before that, and I'm like, I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to cut it off at 8, kick everybody out, close it, and give kind of myself a little bit more time to reset. And because, you know, back at the vendor hall, 6:45 to open at 7, and becomes a long day. You guys have all seen me Saturday night at dinner when I'm, you know, trying to eat my mozzarella sticks and almost fall asleep at the table. Yep.
Or so. Talking toys at the My Wife's Gonna Kill Me podcast.
Right.
Right.
We do have a super chat.
Ooh.
Can't guess. Can anybody guess who it might be from?
I already looked.
Oh.
Curtis Ackerman. I've had a lot of people reach out to me and thank me for putting together a great Midwest convention, but I couldn't have done it without Pete.
I was glad to be there for you, Curtis.
Way to go, so, Pete.
I'm not gonna lie. I am hoping that this happens, and I'm hoping that it creates buzz. And I would love for MuskieCon to be the Midwest Mythic event. Like, I want it, it'll never be Legion's Con, and I don't want it to be Legion's Con. But if it's about halfway throughout the year, so the Midwesterners, again, like I said, that can make it. It gives them a little appetizer before the main dish, so they don't have to wait 12 full months. Or the people that can only make that. I want this to be the premier Mythic event.
That'd be really cool. Let's face it. There's a lot of opportunity if you live down by Jersey. If you're out east,
you know,
there's ZoloCon. Yep. There's a lot of different things throughout the year that you can kind of see these guys and get a chance to buy their product at retail and whatnot. But up by us, not so much. So this is going to be, this would be the opportunity.
Well, it's a great midpoint too. Right. You know, it's kind of halfway.
Right.
You know, between. You know, the annual Legion's Con event. So
right.
Get that, whet that appetite and stay in touch with everybody so that, you know, you can catch up more than once a year in person.
Right. And Chicago is a big market for the horsemen.
Yeah.
I mean, they straight up told me, they're like, we ship a lot to the Chicago area. And I mean, it's 2.5 hours. So it's really, I mean, even if you couldn't pull off staying the night or whatever, to drive 2.5 hours really isn't that big of a deal compared to 10.
I mean, for a day show, I drive to Chicago for day shows, or I drive to Detroit for day shows and don't stay over.
And it's funny because I can actually get to Detroit a little bit quicker than from where I'm at.
Yeah,
I can get to Grand, or I can get to Chicago.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, although stay over, please. Like,
yes.
Drop the extra, like, buy one less figure and stay over.
Right.
Like, that's where it's at, is the after show. That's where the magic happens.
The one thing that I contemplated is, would it have been better if we did Legion's, the mythical event Saturday night, so people didn't have to choose to stay Friday or Saturday if they only had one night to stay?
Yeah.
But I was going to kind of put out a questionnaire and ask people, and hey, what did you think about, hey, no, we, Friday night was great. That was perfect. We stayed the night. We got up, did the show. Then we made our way home Saturday night. Or like I said, maybe it becomes an event where it's on Sunday. Then they just, you come to MuskieCon, stay over, we do an after party. And then Sunday morning we start and we do a Legion's event throughout the day. So
yeah,
we shall see.
We shall. It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome.
And we're 2 weeks away, right?
Yep, 16th.
2 weeks.
Yeah. The 16th. It's
fast approaching.
It's fast approaching.
I'm not ready.
I've got heads to paint.
I'm not ready.
So you're in the same spot as last year. And then how many heads do you think you're going to bring?
I've got over 30 done right now.
Really?
So, I mean, it'll probably be somewhere between 40, 50. Something like that.
And the last couple of shows you've done, when you brought heads, you've pretty much sold out, haven't you? I mean, you don't come home with much product.
I didn't come home with much from Legion's Con, which was the last time I sold.
And you had almost 100 there, didn't you?
No, I had 60.
60?
Mm-hmm. So, well, no, I had 60. I did have more than that because I brought those Goldie heads that were, I brought 20 of those, so I guess I had 80.
Right.
So.
And when you visit Steven's table, look for the heads that are in the little domes. Like, those are the premier.
Those are the premier heads.
Those are the premier heads.
Yes. We found out last year that if there's this little cube thing that, again, Len gave me, and if you take any head and you put it in there, it looks very special.
Nice.
Is it like one of those little things you get, like, out of the machines? You know, like a quarter machine?
Oh, like the little gashapon capsule.
The gumball machine. Or whatever. Yeah. Much more classy than that. Much more classy.
No, but it's funny. It highlights it. And their backstory, I walk up to Steven's table, and I'm admiring, you know, some of the more intricate, really cool. I mean, because the cool thing about Steve's heads, too, is he's got some that are just kind of a real basic color scheme. You know, he can paint them in his sleep kind of thing, and they look amazing. But then he's got these others where it's like you look at it and you're like, no, you really put some heart and soul and thought into the details on
from
this.
From mild to wild.
Yeah. And, well, and so like there's a couple times where I'm like, how is that head still there? And I'm like, here, let's put it in this little thing sitting out front, and then it sells. And it had sat for hours,
right,
and nobody noticed it.
Yeah, if the light's not just great funny, and you don't have that focus on it, I mean, that's...
You bought the spawny-looking head, didn't you, with the... Yeah.
Do you have any prototypes that will be for sale at MesquiteCon? Are you all done with those?
No, I've got some. I need to find them. they're in my storage unit somewhere. So there's a couple that I need to locate and get out. Like, I know I've got a Phobos horse test shot, and
that's what I was looking for.
I've got a couple. I think I still have my Aerithyr test shot that but I'm gonna keep a couple, and honestly I would even trade for some cosmic test shots, because I think that's where I'm going with the stuff that I'm picking and choosing. But yeah, like I alluded to, I'm gonna be getting out of the flipping kind of toy slinging.
I'm gonna ask a hard hitting question, Ben.
Do it. Ooh. Do it. Hit me.
When we were doing 2.0, when we were doing 2.0 a little more regularly, it's been a long, long time. You were kind of going through your divorce.
Yep.
We talked about it on 2.0.
Yep.
But now, you're shacked up with a new girl, right? She put pressure on you to quit this freaking... Is it her fault that you can't sell toys?
No. No, truthfully.
Stephen Bisciotti, the hard-hitting reporter.
Woo!
Yeah. For Big Wig Tickham 13, I'm Steve Bisciotti.
No, truthfully, selling toys, slinging toys, doing it more seriously, it came about out of necessity. I was stay-at-home dad, and I needed to find a way to generate that extra income. When we ran the economics of putting the kids in full-time daycare, and it was like, well, you know, you got to come up. I had to come up and make $800 a month between my side gig doing IT support, and then selling toys. And the more I got into it, the more I was like, man, I can bring in, you know, 10 grand in a weekend, and if I'm playing my cards right. And I was good at it, so it didn't take a whole lot of time and effort and energy to have a steady stream of income slinging toys. But I'm back. My career's back on track now. Some big things are happening at work, and the necessity isn't there. And like I said, like when I'm showing up at shows with the business mindset, it takes away from the people mindset, and I miss out on hanging and catching up and being connected to everybody. So no, to answer your question, no. There's no pressure. Ain't no woman going to tell me what to do with my toys.
As he's texting her, I didn't mean that.
I didn't mean that. No. I also want to enjoy buying toys, and I don't want it to be a job.
Right. You don't want to have that thought process. I have to flip this.
Right.
Not everybody's cut out for it.
Right. Well, and I mean, and
you gotta be soulless like Travis.
I can do it. It's just, I can't do that and have a demanding career, and, you know, be a dad and try to maintain all my friendships, and, you know, I'm a social person. And
there's a joke coming. He's just not big enough to cover all those bases.
Okay. I know. If you're gonna give one thing up, just give up being dad. They don't need you too much.
That's true.
Hey, just what I thought I was.
You've been talking to Randy.
Just what I thought I was going to get out of line. He comes and saves me saves me with that.
Honestly, I thought he was going to say give up sex. I was like, well.
I gave that up years ago.
That might work for you, but it doesn't work for us. No, and that's, honestly, that's my only complaint with MesquiteCon is because.
Well, and when you're running.
I have that responsibility, and I don't get to be, you know, so. The hope is that Friday night during the meetup, I've got some people to cover some things, and I'll be available, but I'll be able to engage a little bit as well. And I have a sneaky suspicion that they'll still be in there chatting at 8 o'clock when I close the vendor hall, which is another part of the decision to do that.
Right.
So I'll be able to go and mingle over there for a little bit before I, you know, head up for the night.
Well, if you want to stay up, just remember, forget your CPAP like last year, and then you can just stay awake the whole time.
That sucked ass. That was Holland.
Was it Holland? Oh, yeah.
It was Tulip City. Fuck.
You looked rough that weekend.
That was brutal.
Man, it's too bad that you were so far away from home.
I would have went home.
Couldn't have.
I did.
Oh, did you go home to get it?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. No, I drove home.
Oh, you just drove. Oh.
I drove home at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and set my alarm for 6, and came back. And
I freaking love my CPAP. Like, it's like, I see that CPAP, and it just makes me feel good. Going to bed, put that sucker on. It feels so nice.
It's amazing. I've heard him say he loves his CPAP and he loves his fucking dog. Yep. Those are the only things he loves. Yep.
That's the second most favorite thing I love having on my face. So, is
put some hair on it.
It's not really a thing in my house, but it's neither here nor there.
Well,
I like him natural. I like him as God intended. You know, all the pheromones in there.
I don't want to be a fucking going like one of those movies when they're like going through the Amazon and with a machete to get to the treasure. Like, that's not what I want to do.
There I was in the Congo. See Steve with a hat like Rakondo.
Yeah.
Like a little moist.
Well, good night, mate.
A little balmy.
So.
laughing's not good for me.
Toy drama.
Yeah.
It's
we got some?
I'm sure we do. just
cute cricket sound effect now.
No, it's the same shit over and over again. And it cracks me up. And I've been contributing in the cabal. Trying to be a nice guy, like actually answering questions, as opposed to just being a huge dick. It's not going well. I've just found myself avoiding things a little bit more because I don't know how to not be a dick. But it's so funny, the, you know, it immediately, man, they hit add to cart, they hit buy, and then they go right to the Kapal and go, hey, how come my stuff isn't shipped yet? I'm like, bitch, you just closed the window out on the sale, you know? And then you get all the, well, they won't ship to my address. Well, that means it's sold out. Well, the horsemen need to fix that. It's not the horseman's problem. It's the other, you know, and it's like I'm in this, I'm like, it's fucking Groundhog's Day, man. It's just the same thing over and over and over again in that place. And, you know, and I love, hey, I'm new to the line. And I go, oh, fuck me. Here we go. I will tell you that one of my most favorite people to read their comments is Dorclair.
Dorclair is on point.
He just crushes it. And Cullen does a great job. Cullen repeats himself so often. That guy's a fucking saint saying the same shit over. And he always does it nice. And he always does it pleasant.
He stays just even.
He's just steady.
But no, I love his comments. Because even when he's being a little bit touchy about it, he does it in such a great way. I just love his comments, man. Are you looking something up or are you texting?
I'm looking something up.
I imagine Cullen, because I mean that's his demeanor.
Oh, absolutely.
In person too.
Yep.
But I imagine that he like goes where nobody can see him and blasts Bad Habit by Offspring and like
you stupid dumb shit goddamn motherfucker.
Just
he has a scream room next to his toy room.
I was just gonna say, my wife's a nurse, and at the clinic where she works, they on Fridays, her and all the other nurses go into the scream room, and it's a room about this size, and they just scream fuck for about 10 minutes straight.
There's an 8-inch piece of PVC pipe coming out of the side of Cullen's toy room, and he just just shouts into it.
Speaking of Mystic Legions,
ooh.
I'm not sure we've been on the air since they dropped the retailer appreciation wave.
Oh,
I don't think we discussed anything about that. No. So I think maybe we, you know,
it's too bad we don't have a retailer here to talk about it.
Well, he's retailing in a show, so
let's get him in via satellite.
Don't defend him.
No, can we remote him in?
That'd probably be fun. If Cody was here and Travis was willing. But he's not. Neither of those things are going to happen.
True.
Dusty Staniford comes in with the Dorklier kills with kindness on a god level. It cannot be said better than that, Dusty.
Yep.
Dusty cannot be said better than that. Yeah. He's like an assassin with nice bullets.
The cabal. I mean, I swear, if people, and I made a post about this, but if you didn't see it, people are. Well, I opened my figure, no breakage. Whew. Like, you know, like they just dodged a freaking bullet. Like, you know, there's.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, it's like, dude, I mean, I've opened up tons of these with no breakage. And it's not the common thing for them to break. It's the common thing for them to be okay. It's, you know, sometimes they break and sometimes there's nothing you can do about it.
Is that just human nature now?
It is. It's just... People are like, I mean, I've seen people post stuff. I'm scared to get into this line because of the rampant breakage. I'm like, no, you're not. You're just seeing, you know, it's the nightly news. You're going to see the rape. You're not going to see the guy that donated $100 to charity.
Right.
You know, and
well, it's a numbers game. Well, there's so many car accidents on the, you know, on the Dan Ryan Expressway in Chicago, but there's none in my subdivision. Yeah, right. Exactly. If you sell, and like I posted on the Cabal, I said it on the show, if you sell 100 figures and one breaks, that's 1%. If you sell 10,000 figures and 10 breaks, that's 1%. That's how this game works. The difference is now instead of seeing one post about breakage, we're seeing 10 posts about breakage. Because everybody needs to be reminded that there. It was me, guys, it happened to me. I was one of them.
Right.
If I wasn't such a feminist, I would have like been like, you too, hashtag you too instead of me too. Like, oh, you too? Yeah, it happened to me too. He broke right out of the package. And all I did was twist as hard as I could while they were still frozen on my porch.
Well, right. And it's not even, I mean, there are, when you're producing stuff, there is going to be a percentage of breakage. And
it does not matter what it is.
It doesn't matter how much. I mean, you know, you're rolling BMWs off the line. Like, there's going to be some lemons that just, like, there something happened in production and there
was. But not with German engineering.
But.
No, he's right. My wife drives a BMW. I know.
But.
It's very expensive.
That was a weird flex.
And
okay.
BMW was a random. I should have said something like McLaren or, you know, even like higher Lamborghini. Right. But, you know, so as amazing as these toys are, there's going to be some production issues. But then also, you know, people are going to snap them in half being dumbasses. And they're not going to be like, oh, I manhandled this thing and it broke. They're going to go, oh, poor me. Like, look at me. This is awful. And
everybody says the same thing. I heated it. I did everything I was supposed to, but it broke.
Well, and it's not just heat. Even when you heat it, you still got to put some thought into what you're doing. And the truth is, like, a lot of people don't understand just basic physics and engineering of just being careful. Where are you putting that pressure?
It's like a clit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you just straight punch somebody in the clit, they're going to be like, that hurt. But if you get in there a little bit tender, you know what I mean? Work on it. Get it hot. Gotta heat it up, right?
Then you punch it.
Yeah. And you Look, punch it.
If
and
the clit wanted yelling harder. If the clit wanted attention, it would have been more easily defined. Easy to find. That's the way I look at it.
Okay.
You're going to hide
Steve's
it.
Steve's like, G-spot my ass.
You're going to hide it on me.
No, it's clear as day. It's just hidden behind a mound of pubes.
Right.
So,
I don't know.
Once again, there I was in the Congo.
In the Congo.
So we got a variation of the Red Death.
Yeah. Nice.
A flip-flop, flippity-flop. Where we got the black clothing and the red kind of
color
body.
Variant.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty standard for the retail wave when they re-release those figures, right?
It's always a color variant.
Yeah,
or
a flip-flop or color variation.
Something, you know, yeah. I mean, we've got Marley that is actually pretty cool looking, and then it's also glow-in-the-dark. Looks much the same as the other one, but it looks more vibrant colors.
Yeah.
But glow-in-the-dark.
I'm excited about that one. Really excited about that
one.
Very
interesting. And then, of course, anybody who is... I don't know what the Monkey King is, so I passed on it. Here's your chance to get a real great figure. Like many people's figure of the year was the Monkey King. And, you know, we've got like a goldy kind of blonde looking monkey here. Pretty sweet. And then they gave us two brand new characters. A 2.0 skeleton that's kind of, it's neat. I'm not going to lie. It's not blowing me away. It's not making me like, wow, I got to have it. I will have it. Right. But then there is, I think... star of the show.
The cosmic
figure. This black and blue, like metallic light blue sentry they put out. Freaking yeah. Just it's not a very good picture, but you can get an idea. It's tough looking. That's gonna be the runaway figure, I think, right there. Everybody's gonna want that.
Curtis Ackerman, this one guy posted a pic of Thrace with two broken legs and a broken arm, and people bashed 4-H. I'm sorry, if you break three limbs, you shouldn't own toys.
I agree.
But I think, too, is a little bit is you got these people that are getting these action figures that have been, maybe they've been buying Marvel Legends, maybe they bought 4-inch G.I. Joe back in the day, right? And that in their head, probably somewhere in their mind, they think they're toys. And they are toys. I get that they are toys, but they're not toys like you're going to hand a 7-year-old.
No.
Right?
No.
I mean, with the exception of Trav.
I mean, I'll
let my grandkids play with them, too. But I give if I hand my Myth of Legions over to my grandkids to play with, I know in my head that there's a possibility of that breaking. That doesn't then think that I should be able to let these kids play with these toys. Like, there has to be a little bit of...
common sense?
Yes.
Oh, there
yes.
we go.
Yes.
Truthfully, though, once you break in those joints...
I don't think
there's not much chance of breaking. I was letting my kids play with them, you know, when they were younger too.
Oh yeah, my kids don't touch my Mythic Legions. Get the fuck off my toys.
People don't understand the move to pinless stuff is different. And things are tighter.
Mm-hmm.
Things are they're more or less forgiving in the beginning. So like you said, until you get them broke in and you get them played with a little bit, then they actually. I mean, if you play with them enough, they'll get loose.
Yep.
You know, they're.
I'm sure we'll get complaints about that too.
Yeah, too tight, too loose.
You won't even stand up now.
Yeah, so...
Well, you melted him with a hairdryer.
And I'm not minimizing someone who actually physically... Have I broke? Yeah, I mean, I broke hands. I pulled off 2.0 hands and broke them. You know, very minor. I mean, out of all the figures I have, which is substantial,
right?
I got a lot of them.
Subtle brag.
I've had very few breakages. Now on my G.I. Joe shelf on Hasbro, I've got a lot of things that are not right with my G.I. Joe figures when I get them out of the box. And that's Hasbro, and you know, it's just I don't have a place to go whine.
Right.
You know,
you probably do, but it's just I think that those neighborhoods are much larger than the Mythic Legion. Even as big as the Cabal has gotten, it's still small in comparison to some of these other pages. Like a G.I. Joe page has got probably 3 or 4 times many people in it.
Well, and Chuck and makes a good point. He says 2 out of 10 figures I got had breakage. The ratio for other friends of mine is much higher too. Been collecting since second Kickstarter. Can't deny my own personal experience being suddenly higher. You know, two sides. And he's absolutely right. And the unfortunate part is, yeah, that the percentage of breakage may have gone up, but we're not hearing, nobody's getting on and saying mine didn't break. So we don't really know what those numbers are. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, when somebody, and I, there was quite a few posts that I saw where my personal opinion was, hey, that sucks for you. And I said that. That's like it looked legit like it was a manufacturing defect.
Right.
And Chuck-a-Luck might have gotten 2 of those figures.
Right.
Bum luck. That sucks.
Okay.
But he also comes back. What I love about what he said was, I can't deny my own personal experience. And he's talked to other people that have had similar. But he comes back with another comment and says, customer service took care of it. They're great.
Exactly.
You know? because I guarantee you Chuckaluck was common sense, smart enough guy to go, hey man, this sucks. He reached out and they made it right. Is it unfortunate? Yes, it is. But there is a way to deal with that. And I wish I knew who Chuckaluck was. Sorry, Chuckaluck. But I look at that and I go, well, that's exactly what a responsible toy collector will do. If you've got a problem, by all means, report it. But report it in a way that's going to actually get you some traction.
Right.
You know, not just posting into the ether of the cabal and hoping for the best.
The problem is like, you know, when you know, okay, the company's going to take care of it. We know this. But when you're constantly just posting everything, then you get these people that are new to the line and they're like, oh, should I buy Thrace? I'm scared to buy Thrace. I'm terrified to open her.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, no, I don't think you need to be terrified to open Thrace. Right. You know,
open up the mailer, take the box out, oven at 350, like a lasagna. Okay.
Yeah.
10 minutes, pull it out, open the package. It's that simple.
It is.
By the way, I'll see you in the front yard with my clipboard going, well, I figured out what happened. You burned your house down because you put a box in the oven, you moron.
Mm-hmm. I've opened 2 Thraces. No problems with either.
Not once, but twice, but thrice.
But, you know, so I mean that. But that's, I'm not going to run to the cabal and go, I opened 2 Thraces, no problems. You know?
Nobody does that. If it bleeds, it leads, man.
Well, and you're also not going to say that, okay, I had no problems. My personal experience applies to everyone.
Right. Doesn't,
you know,
apply
on everyone. The other side.
Exactly. But it does balance out. Like what's his name? That
Chuckaluck.
Was? Chuckaluck. Yep. Chuckaluck had 2 breakages.
Right.
I had 0.
Right.
Put them together. It meant, you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
If there's other people out there that have had 0, it doesn't make it suck any less for Chuckaluck.
Hell no.
Right.
But
exactly.
But it's, you know, it's just not an, it just doesn't, I don't, you're not looking through the right window when you're looking through the cabal.
Well, and you talk about the experience with the figures. If he's been collecting since the second Kickstarter, he's in deep.
Right.
Yeah.
He knows. He's seen the warnings about heating and warning. And that, so he knows what he's getting into, which I think probably leads to his responsible decision of, hey, I contacted customer service.
Right.
And I didn't get the, I got my figures or whatever. And you know, but again, he's not new to the line.
No.
He understands what it is that he's getting. But you're right. At the end of the day, it sucks to have anything you buy that breaks absolutely sucks.
Right.
You know?
I've seen it, so I know it happens. I mean, we opened...
I've done it.
Yeah. Right. We opened... we talked about it.
The bow. Poxus's bow. And you know,
Travis
broke that.
Travis broke a little nub off that, the little arrow rest thing. And then the gray alien, Azul or Zeus, whatever his name is. When we opened the review wave, when the Swedes were here, right before Legion's Con, we had a review wave that we opened up. Tomas opened that sucker up. Benthany, no heat. Benthany, but I watched him. He didn't put much pressure on it. You know, he was just kind of fiddling with it.
But he's got those mechanic hands.
That's true.
Tomas is a man's man.
Yeah, he's...
Like, he builds race cars and motorcycles. So, you know, he's one of those guys that...
He's tough. He jacks off with an SOS pad. Doesn't bother him.
Oh, steel wool!
Yes.
But, I mean...
Cleaning and exfoliating at the same time.
But, yeah, I mean, I watched that sucker snap.
Well,
you know? And then I glued it, and then I told Travis, and he doesn't even know.
We got to bear in mind, too, though, that these are all new... parts libraries,
right. Yep.
And not only are they new parts, new sculpts, but they're entirely new.
New engineering.
Engineering. And
probably new materials too. There's probably some tolerances in the plastic that they're trying out for new things, right?
So, and this is stuff they'll get
they'll
it right.
They'll work it out.
They'll work it out. But you know, when you're going into a figure and it has some sculpting and design and engineering that is not familiar, you know, tread lightly.
How many times have we seen that little picture of the where they cut the, you can see that the break, and then there's a hole in them in the peg, and it's like, oh, there was an air bubble in the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone cut a new one to see whether that air bubble is, or that little circle is supposed to be there? How do we know that that's an air bubble? How do we know that
right, yeah, that it's not, wasn't engineered to be there to do whatever.
My good friend Len thought of that, but he was right, I think. He's like, how do we know that they're not supposed to be? So somebody going to saw a perfectly good one to see if it's,
right,
they're all like that?
I mean, I probably would. Somebody want to give me a new figure? We'll do it right now.
That's what we want to see on Mythic Conversations, Gerard. Wanted to see you saw into that and show us that dimple.
Get your little scalpel out. Let's cut it up. See what happens. It's for science.
For dissecting toys.
Dissecting toys.
I'm alien autopsy.
5 years out from being 15. This is what I'm doing in my life.
I think the last thing that I dissected, technically wasn't human, was a frog, and I snipped its leg and it went flying, and I made my classmate Desiree throw up. It was super funny.
It's funny now.
The sound of that bone snapping. She just it was so good. I was surprised that she threw up because she her boyfriend had such a big dick she couldn't even fit it in her mouth.
Really?
So she didn't have the experience with the gag reflex. So then a couple years later she wanted to date me and I was like, No. Can't follow that.
Just talking with my kids last night. They think it's so weird that we grew up in an era where...
Okay, well, so that was the worst transition ever.
No, it's going to come back because you talked about throwing up.
No, I'm... Yeah.
Big dicks. You talked about big dicks. You talked about throwing up and I'm going there.
I can't wait.
My kids think it's so weird that we all grew up in a generation where we had to take showers for gym.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And not, because like now they kind of don't do it. They
didn't when I was in high school.
What? You never had to?
No.
Did you?
It was an option, but I always, my goal was to do the most, like, appear that I'm putting in the effort, like, just below where I'm going to break a sweat. So.
Okay, you? Oh, yeah. So it was mandatory.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't get a grade if you didn't shower.
It was wasn't even an option.
The gym teacher stood at the entrance of the shower with a stack of towels and he handed you your towel.
Looking blankly off into space as to not be accused of
and
being a pedo.
If you tried to get out of showering, and this is sixth grade, middle school, and I don't know if it was so much like that.
It was middle school. It was junior high and high school.
You know what, to be honest with you, I don't think our gym actually had shower facilities in my high school.
Well, I mean,
The gym we used for PE class, right?
Well, so, what about Travis's story? We had to have.
He went to Montego, went to Whitehall. We didn't go to the same school. Oh. So now don't get me wrong. Oh, there were right. the so it's kind of weird, right? The high school sits here and then the junior high sits here. The gymnasium that like everything like the main gym was actually hooked to the junior high, not to the high school. There was a lawn between the two. So when you were in high school and had PE class, you were actually in the high school gym, which was basically just a big square room, no bleachers or anything like that. It was just a gym. And I don't recall that even had showers in it. It might have, but not, there was no towels. There was no nothing. And even know. when I was in junior high, that was high school. When I was in junior high, we had a locker room, but and it had showers, but nobody ever used them. There was no towels. There was nothing.
It's so weird how we've gotten away from. So now, like, there's my generation, who obviously I've explained my situation in like middle school.
We're only like 4 years apart, dude.
I know that something must have changed awful drastic, quickly because
the towel hander guy wasn't averting his eyes anymore.
Probably.
He didn't look at my crank. He always kind of, Bill's right. He just kind of stared forward and was like, here's your towel. He had a stack of towels. And then he had a cart next to him. When he ran out, he grabbed another stack of towels. And he made sure that he handed out a towel to everybody. And you had to go in there and come out.
While Steve's telling this story, viewers, all 32 of you, did you shower at school? Like, post up. Let us know what your experience
is. And tell
us
your age.
Yeah, tell us your age, too.
Because I want to know how this...
Or the year you graduated, if you're not comfortable talking about your age.
Well, we ain't got a bunch of women in the chat, maybe one or two. You guys don't care about their age.
But, well...
It's a women thing. They like to try... They're trying to be mysterious. Oh, like you don't look 45. I can tell. What's your age? Oh, a woman never tells. Well, I'm going to guess 50. How's that? Anyways. But I love how this just changed, because then fast forward to, okay, I'm a little boy, or I'm sixth grade. I call that still a little boy. And you're in there and you're nervous, so you get a towel and you put it around you as fast as you can, and you go back to your station, you put your clothes on as fast as you can and everything else, to going to the Y, which the local Muskegon Y, which is closed down now, but I went there for years and used their gym. Old guys love to be naked. Old guys will stand around and talk to each other naked. That, like, they got all the time in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They will stand in front of a mirror and comb their hair naked before they put any clothes on after the shower. They're so comfortable with being naked in front of each other that it's like,
they're secure.
Yeah, they're totally like, they don't give a shit. They'll put their leg up on the freaking step, on a chair, and talk to you and everything else. And I wonder what happened there where we were like so.
That's what happened. When they stopped doing that, when they stopped doing what they were doing, probably a few, it only takes a few bad apples to spoil the bunch, probably. But then you start to have all these self-confident body issues that we now have in society.
I showered 42. Joe Vassapolo says, I had gym first or second period for 3 years straight. No one showered. We went the whole day with the natural musk and the girls never minded. 46 and did have to shower at school. It was terrible. Ackerman said that. Jesse says, yep. Even if the percent of acceptable... that's not about showering. one six shooter said, not required to shower, but you could. That was 80s high school. All through junior high and freshman, shower was mandatory. Being the fat guy, hated it. I get that. 42, yes. 44, had to in middle school. Optional in high school. My school, Curtis Ackerman says, my school also had no doors on the stalls of the bathroom.
Well, we didn't either.
Really?
No, girls do.
That sounds crazy.
This is weird. At the Y, I'll go back to the Y. I just found out, because I was actually, this is on top of my mind, because I said that we
Joe Vassapolo and I graduated the same year. Class of 02. Get him, Joe.
Oh, quickie dick. What was I going? Courtney told me that the Y, where I showered, now the Y was, you walk into a big room, it's a big room, and it's got shower heads on the walls, and it's all open.
Yeah,
right?
Like prison.
Yep. But apparently in the girls, they had stalls with curtains.
Makes sense.
It's not fair. That's not equality. Feminism, huh? Where's my stall?
Or I will tell you that.
I want equality.
Not too long ago, I was up at Hart High School, north of Europe, by Shelby.
Yep.
And for a sporting event, and went into the bathroom. No urinals, all stalls, full-on panic. Motherfucker. I done walked into the girls' bathroom. Nope, men's room. Converted everything to stalls. No urinals anymore. And I was like, that's weird. I just want to pee in a hole in the wall. I don't want to pee
in
this toilet.
You know what I mean? When I used to reenact World War II,
oh, shit.
we used to stay at Fort, what's it called? Shit, I'm losing them. There's a fort in Kalamazoo. And it's still an operational military base, but they have the old World War II barracks still there. They don't use them for much, but they're there and they're usable.
Just get used when the pretenders come to town.
So they would let us use them. We would go there, stay there, and use and be there, and then we would do reenactments and stuff around their base. And that bathrooms are just toilets, just out in
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. So you go bam bam, and you're just like, hey, yeah. Sitting there, you hold hands with the guy next to you and go bam bam.
I stayed in the military barracks in Alpena. We did a training there for a bunch of fire departments, and you had to bring your own towel because you don't have a towel. It's not a hotel; it's a military barrack.
Right?
Has anybody ever used a brand new towel to try and dry off? That hasn't been washed. They're useless. It was like a chamois. It wouldn't absorb any water at all. And I remember walking to class that first morning, and I'm like I'm like everything's still wet. I was so fucking uncomfortable. Oh,
good times.
Yeah.
Speaking of urinals, I was at a bathroom at a Meijer this week, and I swear to God, I thought Travis was in there.
Somebody peed.
And it actually, I didn't think it was Travis because it actually, believe it or not, it was more impressive. I mean, it sounded like someone took a 2 liter and just squeezed it into the toilet. And I was like, holy shit.
For anybody new to the show, Travis has a giant urethra.
Yeah.
And it's a he doesn't pee very long, but what he does is incredibly powerful.
Yeah, he could powerful. Drop, he could drop a marble in his urethra and it would just kind of ding ding ding.
And has.
They poured a pitcher of water.
I was scrolling through I bought my wife something, and so my Facebook is like the ads in my Facebook are incredibly targeted, and so there was a site that looked interesting, so I clicked on it, and I'm scrolling through. And it had urethral dilators and like a whole kit of them. And I was like, I'll try to be as kinky as the next guy, but I don't think I can get behind that.
Is that for medical use?
No, it's for sexual gratification where it's actually in the tip of your ding dong. And I just,
what the hell?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Again, no judgment. If you're into it, do your thing, chicken wing. But I like, it's one of those, you know, when you see somebody get hit in the nuts and every guy in the room goes, like, because like, we just, nature knows that no one man can handle that on his own, so we all take a little bit, right? We all go, ugh. Like, it was one of the, I scrolled and I was like, and I just kind of kept moving, like, I just not for
we
me.
All know. It's worse than childbirth, proven.
Not for me. I don't think that's true.
No, it is. I can prove it.
It's science.
I can prove it. Women will have a baby and they'll be like, oh, I want another. You ever hear a guy ask to get kicked in the balls again? It's worse. I don't think I've ever heard a guy say, kick me in the balls.
You're not Googling enough, so.
A normal guy.
I mean, that was the entire plot of Jackass, right?
Right, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Snorting wasabi and getting kicked in the balls.
Yep. I tell my wife that all the time. What, she talks about the childbirth. The girls like to daydream about, oh, when I was in labor, this and that. I mean, I'll just be over there. Like, not as bad as getting kicked in the balls. Especially with your friggin', their epidurals and shit? They're friggin' dead from the waist down.
My wife did not have an epidural. 4 pregnancies. All natural.
Well, my wife was like, I don't want to feel anything from the waist down. I don't think they ever took the damn thing out.
My wife asked for an epidural on baby number 4. And she was in excruciating pain, and she was like, I think I want. I said, okay. So whatever you want, should I get it? Don't ask me. I don't care either way. You either say, no, I'm good, and I sit right here, or you say, I need it, and I walk out of the hallway and go, hey, I need an epidural, stat. She goes, I want the epidural. I said, okay. I went out. Doctor comes in. She goes, all right, Miss Amanda. And she sits down. She's an absolute sweetheart. So she sits down, lovingly inserts her fingers into my wife's vagina. And goes, well, you're not getting an epidural because we're having a baby, honey.
Too far along.
Yep. So she snap, heals up. All right, sweetheart, we've done this before. Let's go.
That's why we always got Courtney's epidural in the second trimester.
He got it before coitus because that's the only way she can stand still. I want to have your baby, but you got to numb me down there, Stephen.
She's used to not feeling anything right down there anyway.
So, toy news.
Toy news.
Speaking of urethras, I got to pee.
Oh, boy, let me look up. I took some pictures here of a few things we can just talk about. I wish we could put them on screen.
I wish Trav was here just because he always has snacks.
Me too. I'm missing. I don't even have water.
Wow.
Hasbro Pulse had a some announcements. They're going to be releasing some characters to the retro line. We're going to get a beachhead that looks very similar to the toy beachhead.
Yep.
beachhead? Sandy as hell. It's a real mess.
So, beachhead is I'm a fan of this figure that's coming. I know that we've had a beachhead. It was like, I think it's one of those exclusives.
Yep. And that was Cobra Island.
Yeah. And he has the beret and everything.
It, you know what? It's a cool looking figure.
It is very cool.
But I like that one better.
Do you?
Yep. But I'm a bit of a classified apologist. I don't think they've done anything wrong since they started it. I know there was a lot of vitriol when they first, because of the gold. I heard you talking about it too. I liked it. I liked some of the new concepts, but I also like what they're doing now.
Eels. We're getting some eels.
Yep.
Again. And that's pretty
And
sweet.
These are not going to be Walmart exclusive anymore.
No.
So no. They should be at just normal retail.
So pretty fun. I just paid overpaid for my eel because
it was a Amazon exclusive. What was it? Fan channel or something? It was.
Sorry, guys.
They were hard to get.
They were hard to get, and then everything else. But now it looks like we may have a good chance to. We could, if you want army build eels, this is it's coming. You know, get your armies built.
Hasbro Pulse or write to your favorite online retailer and just pre-order what you want.
And one I'm very
excited
worry
about it.
The last one I'm very excited about. I didn't get the original one that's out now. Is Snow Serpent. Love Snow Serpents.
Mm-hmm.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
Jeremy says, at least Steven learned to cough into his elbow. Eye roll.
cough into your elbow. How are you supposed to spread germs that way? Looks like he doesn't come with a few things that the big deluxe one came with. I remember it came with like a fur.
Yeah.
Or something. And maybe it did. It come with a snowboard?
I don't recall.
I think it came with a snowboard.
Because I don't have that one either.
I don't have it either, but I'm pretty sure it came with a snowboard. here's something everybody's going to be pumped up about. We're getting a ferret.
Are you pumped up about smell. It, though? Are you pumped?
I would rather not have to. I'll probably get a couple of them, and I wish it didn't have a female driver.
Yeah. That's what I was going.
Big surprise.
Listen, hey, he's just full of surprises that is, today.
Listen.
Prefers Bush.
I don't have a lot of experience with quads, but do quads have power steering? Because I don't feel like she has enough upper body strength to turn. 3, 2, 1, go, Steve. I don't care. I think
she
it looks cool.
She isn't going to want to ride that thing. She's going to want to be in the office. Look at the breakdown of jobs out there. Girls don't want any, very few. There's a very small minority out there that aren't this way. But most of them, 99% of them, if it ain't air conditioned and in an office and with a nice bathroom close to them, they don't want it. They don't want to do that. Or they can't wear a short skirt and sway their boss in the direction they want to go.
You are a caveman.
Do you know girls that want to do those jobs?
What?
Not that I want to. Devil's advocate.
You want to know
or Steven's advocate. Do you know girls that want to do that stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So check this out. I right now in the County Fire Academy, there are 7 women, which is more than double what it's ever been before.
Yeah, how many men?
11.
Okay.
So
there are girls that'll do stuff like that because then they can walk around and be like,
but you know what I've seen?
And all the guys will do the shit for them. I got to run up the ladder and carry this hose.
Let me get that for you, honey. Maybe you'll go out later and I can buy you something. You look cute today, toots.
I mean, that's...
I knew he'd take the lead. I just had to feed it.
Just so you know, Steven works in an air-conditioned office next to a nice bathroom and has not one but 2 women that do his job for him. So you don't
We were just talking about the calluses no longer being on his hands.
How many times have you driven through road construction and seen women not lately? The last couple of years, I see women all the time.
Stop and go paddle.
So, what?
Slow and go paddle.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them up in big equipment, so...
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that.
I mean, let's be honest. They're lesbians, but they're women.
I have never in my career of being around excavators and contractors and everything seen. I know they exist, but I personally have never seen, unless maybe in a
female
bulldozer
drivers are like clitorises.
Never seen one.
People talk about it, but I ain't
never seen a female backhoe driver. Never seen a female excavator driver. Never seen one.
There's got to be a backhoe driver kink. You know what I mean? what are you, a backhoe driver?
No, like I said, I know there's one that exists in the world, but there's also unicorns, I believe.
There is a, I'm pretty certain that it was a Muskegon County Road Commission plow truck, one of the big ones that I saw.
I have seen plow truck drivers.
Yeah.
That's one thing, but I don't consider that.
Oh, you like plowing, huh?
Yeah, she likes plowing.
Kathy Rombuts worked for the first city I worked with for. And
oh, yeah?
Yep, she would get lost all the time.
Now, by nature, you are right. This is where Steven is correct. These male-dominated fields, a lot of the time, are male-dominated for a reason.
Yeah, because we just won't let women be roofers.
My wife would not enjoy doing that type of work. Now, I will tell you that there are plenty of men in our in my life that does not have a job that's as nearly as hard on their body as my wife's is. Standing all day long, working with your hands above your head in the dexterity, it actually, it's a lot more physically demanding cutting hair than most people realize, right? So she has problems with her wrists and her shoulders and what have you. And, but in the grand scheme of things, typically ladies don't like to get dirty. You don't see them digging holes. You don't see them, you know, this, there's a female garbage person, that's in our area. She drives the truck and she throws the cans and just as good as any other guy. But the average, like if I talk to one of my three daughters and say, hey, would you ever consider being a garbage person? They'd be like, no.
See, and I'm always trying to push.
But my son probably wouldn't either, you know?
No, it takes special, it even takes a special guy.
Right.
But it's always going to be a guy.
When you say special, what are you trying to say?
Well, there's not, some people are not going to be garbage men. Guys included.
Oh, right.
Then there's some guys that are like, I don't care, it's work, I'll do it. There are those guys.
Well, but it's great paying work, and it typically comes with some sort of government benefits, and a lot of people don't know
sometimes.
That, you know? So, but
it's getting more and more that garbage services are not government.
Well,
so.
There's a lot more privatization, absolutely. But the other thing, too, is you see, like, there are certain industries, funeral homes, very much male-dominated. A lot of women don't want to be around dead bodies. I get it. And typically, if you see a woman in that field, it's familiar, or it's family, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, hey, my dad was, my grandpa
right,
was.
Yep, she was raised around it.
Because realistically, the average person doesn't want to be around dead bodies, male or female. That's one of those industries that's very much kind of handed down, you know, from person to person. So
I'm always telling my girls, hey, if you want to be a plumber, don't let any man tell you you can't.
You have never said that to your family. You have said, get barefoot, get pregnant, and shut up. That's basically what you said.
To I've done that too. I do both. I like to be all over the board. I like to keep guessing.
Well,
never know where I'm going to be today.
Yeah.
Olivia graduates this year. She came to me last fall and she said, Dad, I don't want to go to college. Okay. You're okay with that? Hell yes, I'm okay with that. College isn't for everybody. I would like to think that I'm reasonably successful in my life. I didn't go to college. I mean, I took a different type of education, but with any job, there's education, even if it's just on-the-job training, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you went to college, got a degree, and took the stay-at-home dad path for a while, and now you're back into your career. Like, it doesn't... None of those things dictates what it has to end up being, right?
Right.
And I said, well, what do you want to do? Like, what are your thoughts? And she said, I want to help people. I've watched you my whole life. I think it's super cool what you guys do in the community, but I don't think I could do that. I said, okay. So what do you, I said, well, where's your head at? I said, I think I want to be a dispatcher. That's a great job. That is a great career. She literally can graduate high school in June, walk into dispatch in July, and start at almost $25 an hour with a real pension, which nobody gives pensions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Full benefits, and can do her whole career. She can be a part of public safety. She can do good for the community, but she's upstairs at dispatch and she's in a climate controlled room and she's safe, which makes me happy. But I get to talk to her on the radio. Like, that's super cool. Like, and she was very adult in that conversation. And that's a great way to look at it. Hey, I want to do this, but she also understands that she weighs 98 pounds and the gear that I wear is almost that. She understands that she has physical limitations. She's not going to drag me out of a burning building. And it's not because she's not good enough. It's because that's the way she's built, you know? So there's a lot of that too, because a lot of that manual labor requires size and strength that they just weren't born with. And to blame them for that, we really can. It's kind of a dad issue for giving that chromosome, you know?
Well, and she has the added benefit as being the first person to get the news that you've choked on a zebra cake. She's going to get that call. And,
yes.
So.
1390 is choking on a hostess cake.
Not that a building collapsed on you,
right,
but
because
you're not going out that way.
No. No, I don't get to go inside anymore.
Stuck good call, door. Ben. That was a good one.
Did anybody see the promo for Shooting the Shelf for tonight? It's a picture of me in my helmet.
Oh, yeah.
And they changed
to
Big
Wig
Dickum in 420. I was like, guys, come on. It's a fire helmet. Can we not put weed shit on it? But it was hilarious, and I got a great chuckle out of it.
All right. I'm trying to see. Did we?
Well, Hasbro Pulse did a G.I. Joe live stream this week.
Yeah.
So that not just those ones, but the next wave, they showed all the product shots for like Naga Hyde.
Yep.
What was the other one? Jinx. Do you like Jinx?
Do I like Jinx?
Yeah.
I do.
We got
with the sleeveless and the tattoo.
Super jab from Curtis Ackerman. I'm not sure about that, Pete. I just Googled dirty girls, and there were thousands of results. I bet you did. I'm sorry, Darla.
No, they did. They showed a lot of pictures of production. Nightcrawler, some different ones. But I didn't bring those because we've talked about
Night Creeper. Not Nightcrawler.
I'm sorry, Night Creeper, yes.
That's right.
Matt Night Creeper. Apparently he has like a green sword to make it look like it's been poisoned, because I think that's in his bio that they use poisoned weapons.
Sure. And tech.
Yeah.
So
every time they have these Joe live streams, I hope that they are finally gonna announce the Law and Order, but
it's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
I know.
Law and Order, that's the German Shepherd, right?
That's the MP and the German Shepherd. So
good.
Waiting for that.
Yeah, so am I.
I'm surprised they didn't do that before Mutt and Junkyard, to be honest with you.
Mutt and Junkyard came first, was mm-hmm. heavily focused on in the cartoon.
Yeah.
And in the comic.
Okay.
Yep.
I just see the German Shepherd being a more recognizable image as far as police dog and mm-hmm. culture. And,
yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, the character itself was a later, what was it, 80?
We only saw him in the cartoon in the movie.
Yeah, Law and Order was introduced in the cartoon at the movie, 87.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he drives it. He sniffs the bombs, and I drive the truck. We tried it the other way. It didn't work.
Or dinner.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He had his voice, his accent, I don't think matched his bio in the cartoon.
No, it didn't.
Because he's based on Kirk Blazigan, he's based on a person from Hasbro,
I don't recall.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot. But yeah, a lot of them were at that time. So, Torch?
I don't know if most people know, Cody actually lives with a police dog.
I don't know.
His dad is the canine officer for a county. Right? No.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay.
And what's super funny is, and I know I mentioned this before, Cody was my brother's best friend. His younger sister was my daughter's best friend. So we'd do pool parties, you'd go over, and the dog would greet you like a regular dog. And you would pet him, and he'd run around and play fetch, and he'd jump in the pool, and he was a family dog. And then Dad would get his uniform on, and his brain totally changed. It was really cool to see. But his new dog is not a family dog. His new dog is a cop dog.
All the time.
But it's super cool, because I don't know if you guys have ever seen how those units are outfitted, but they've got like little door poppers. So if he gets in trouble, he hits a button, the door pops open, and the dog comes out like a fucking bullet.
like a cruise missile.
Dude, man. They're super cool. So, but we'll have to get that figure. We'll have to buy that for him. I mean, out of his pay, of course. We're not going to do it just out of the kindness of our heart.
Curtis must have wanted me to show this. He just sent me a picture. Doc coming out, man. I love Doc.
Oh yeah, it's perfect, man.
And that's right.
What
up my
they're
alley,
doing,
you know,
what they're doing with these those figures, where it's got enough of the original.
Yeah, you look at it, you know exactly who
hallmarks
it is.
Of the character, go, and then they update just a little bit of it, and they're killing it right now.
They were like, "Hey, how do we make this figure that a 10-year-old loved? How do we make a 40-year-old love it?" That's what you do. I mean, that's the recipe.
Badass.
You go 6-inch, good sculpt, all the accessories. And like I said, I wasn't going to do Joe, but the way they're dropping some of my favorites like this, man, it's going to be hard to stay away from 6-inch Joe.
And then is it HMS? It's going to match your his tank. Anybody has a his tank, it's going to want to get that HMS.
Is that what they're calling it? Oh, his mobile
missile.
It's not the MMO.
Okay. The color scheme is that way. It comes with, I think it's a Techno Viper.
And the figure fits in with his team.
Oh yeah, the team. Color. Yeah, the color scheme is all that.
What is that?
It's HMS.
The missile trailer.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Previously called the MMS.
Right, because they'll release it with Hawk, I imagine, because it's the same toy, and Hawk originally came.
And a vamp can probably pull it.
Yep.
So
you know, it's G.I. Joe. They have that reuse.
Isn't it Cobra?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did that. They swapped.
Yeah. I mean, Tiger Force and Python Patrol are all based on that. They would take what would be a Cobra vehicle and make it a Joe vehicle. They'd make a Joe vehicle into a Cobra vehicle.
It was the Sears exclusive Hiss tank that came with an MMS.
Yes.
I believe it was
the
red.
Crimson. Yep, the Crimson Strike Team or something.
Yep. But the Hawk also came with the MMS.
My original, the first G.I. Joe I ever got was a Hawk with the MMS. When I was a kid, that was my
guys,
first.
Guys, we got to stop talking about toys, Pete. We're losing Pete.
Yeah,
he's
fading. He's fading.
I'm reading the comments, trying to make sure we didn't miss anything.
And then, of course, Tiger Force, Tripwire, and Roadblock.
I'm not getting any of the Slaughters. The Slaughter sub.
You say that now.
The Slaughters, is it Slaughters Marauders or whatever?
Yeah,
isn't that what they called it?
Mm-hmm.
Trav had like a six pack of. Yeah. 35th or 50th or whatever in his booth for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't get
barbecue.
They've already done barbecue, right?
Yep.
I didn't get
I
him.
Love barbecue.
So I'm trying to stay away from that sub team, but I'm doing Python Patrol and Tiger Force.
So the characters that are coming out in that, they're have you seen some of the renders? They're like the right characters, but they're different.
Oh, are
right.
They?
So there's homages to different things. Like it's not Spirit and Freedom. It's Spirit and a Raven or a Blackbird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's a different a name.
They're doing
a little deep dives into different things. Like different
why would Spirit cheat on Freedom?
I don't know.
Freedom's his buddy.
Maybe Freedom got shot by Cobra. We don't know.
I can't deal with that.
Spirit is Native American? Indigenous. How do you say it now?
Indigenous.
In 1984 you say he's an Indian.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is this, his bird was named Freedom?
Yeah.
Okay. We all get the irony there, right?
We absolutely do. It's great.
All right.
It was awesome. I loved him.
He comes with smallpox infected blankets and moonshine. Great accessories.
Wait, he was always wise.
Yep.
He always had freaking awesome. He could track anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that fought Storm Shadow, not Snake Eyes.
Right.
He always was a.
Well, you had to have someone talk, and he had to have that, you know, stereotypical wise. Native American speak.
Most people don't know that Freedom's original name was Manifest Destiny, but that didn't work in the focus groups, so they had to change it.
Meet as enemies.
Yep. Yep.
Awesome.
A coyote named Peyote.
Yes.
That'd be the best.
Spirit was one of my favorite toys as a kid. I loved Spirit.
I didn't have Spirit.
My kids loved Spirit, but that was an animated movie about a horse.
Sad part was my brother had him. It was my brother's figure, and I couldn't play with it a lot unless my brother was gone.
Also, Native American, he could not have bullets in his gun. He had to have short little arrows called darts, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Had a whole,
so many stereotypes. It was great. It was awesome. I loved it, but yeah.
It wasn't that he couldn't. I assume he preferred it.
He chose it. That was,
He was like, I need arrows for
It's not that he couldn't shoot somebody with a gun. He'd just rather, you know, put an arrow through him.
You know, you can put bullets in your gun. How?
Exactly.
Slide him in.
He was always wise. I love the liberties they took in the G.I. Joe cartoon. Doc wasn't just a medic. Doc was like a scientist.
And a pacifist.
Doc?
Oh, no, it was Lifeline.
Lifeline.
Yep.
No, Doc, yeah. He would, like, he, like, worked on, like, fighting the mass device. And, like, you know, he was building shit. And
oh, yeah.
I'm like, hey, he wasn't just a Doc. He was, like, he was eternally smart.
He was the smartest guy they had.
Yeah. It was awesome. All right. Fun stuff coming from Hasbro. I'm all on board. I'm getting giddy just talking about it. But, yeah. Any other news that you guys want to talk about? Anything you got, Ben?
I realized this week that I didn't pre-order the new Optimus Prime shit. Missing Link, that's what it was. It's where they took the G1 Optimus Prime and they gave it articulation.
Oh!
I
didn't know those were out.
And Boonstra sends me a text message. He's like, hey, did you guys... It's in our group chat for TFCon. And he's like, oh, did you guys get the Missing Link convoy? And I was like, oh, crap. Like, I went back and looked. And sure enough, nope, I didn't pre-order one. So I got to try to track one of
those
down.
It's sold out.
And now it's
sold out.
It's sold out,
yeah.
Is it just Optimus they're offering?
I think right now that was the first, like, that's the first one, but I think they're going to do some others from what I understand. But yeah, I'll have to track that one down and next time
showed off. It looks articulation fun. Before.
I mean, it had the 80s articulation,
right.
And arms. You know, the
he could turn his head,
the arms, right. And no, he couldn't even turn his head.
He couldn't turn his head.
No, and he didn't have knees. Like it just, but so he's now has, you know, hips, and you can do some dynamic poses and stuff with
Does
it.
Does he still transform into
it's
a still, truck?
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I mean, it's the G1 toy, and they just added some articulation to it. And,
looks like the same thing we had in the 80s. Yep. But you can actually do stuff with it.
It's come with a trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Is that an official release, third
yep.
party?
Yep, it is. Yep, it's Takara, Hasbro. Yeah, it's called Missing Link.
Okay. Direct to consumer?
Yes.
For the most part? You're not going to go to Walmart or Meijer or Target?
Because here it's part of the import line, so it's okay. It's a Japanese market product, but it was available through Pulse.
Nice.
How many Gundams have you built since last you've been here?
None. I have a whole bunch
of
boxes.
How many more have you bought?
None.
Oh, okay.
So, no, every time I go and look at them in the basement, I'm like, those are really cool. Someday I'll have time to do something with them because they can be involved.
I bet. You took the lid off the one of them, and I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, look at there's like 1,200 parts in there.
Yeah, it was all old school Turtles weapon racks. Holy shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I have put two together, but they were smaller ones that took me about 2 or 3 hours a piece to put together. Damn. So the big ones, I'm like,
new.
Yeah. No.
Save that for retirement.
Or something. I'm probably my grandkids will sell it when I'm dead. That's what's probably going to happen. Or if I can figure out someone who wants to buy them before that. Right.
Well, that's cool. Travis has got a warrior beast sitting here.
I think it's, I'm assuming it's Jeremy's.
It might be for Jeremy. Or, there's two here.
Well, that's, I'm assuming that's so Travis's this was, up on the shelf. And yep. Then that's Jeremy's.
All important information.
Okay. No, we got to do this. So, I went to Five Below for Jeremy because I was at Ollie's and, I said, hey, do you guys need this? It was Battle Cat or something. They said no. So he said, what I need you to do is go to Five Below. Okay. Well, I had nothing going on. I had the kids with me. So we ran out to Five Below and found a sorceress for him. And he said, yeah, I'll take that for $5 or whatever. And I found a couple other ones. And so there was posters that my kids wanted. And standard flip style rack with the tubes underneath in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ones that they wanted, there was none underneath. So I just pulled it out of the sleeve and I rolled it up and handed it to Piper Sue. And I'm going to buy it. There was a bunch of other empty ones. I figured, why not? So my son Pearson's like, hey, I want this one, Dad. I said, okay, pull it out of there. I don't want to get in trouble. I can get in trouble. So we're not stealing them. I said, we're just taking the poster we want. They've got barcodes on them. They'll just scan it like they do on the other one. And he hemmed and he hawed and he hemmed. So finally, I'm like, okay, we're leaving. So he finally starts to pull it out of there. And this woman comes out of nowhere. And she had to have been early 20s probably. And she like puts her hand up to stop us. And I instantly see armpit hair. I was like, ugh. So, so she's like, sir, you can't do that. And I said, okay. So customers can't take the I said, okay. All right. I said, I pulled one out for my daughter. I said, well, we've got to do that. I said, okay. And she's like super intense, right? And I'm in work clothes. Like, yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I look like a decent human being, right? I don't look like a scumbag. And she goes, yo, we can't have customers. I said, yeah. I heard you. I said, and she's like loud, like people are looking, and she's like, oh, we can't just have people taking things. And I said, okay, okay. So she's starting to pull it out. She rips the poster, right? She's pulling it out, and I'm like, I got it out without ripping. I didn't say nothing, you know. These things are really expensive. We can't just have customers, you know, just doing whatever they want because we can't get parts for them if they break. And I said, I heard you. I understand that you don't want customers to do this. We're there. We're good. And she keeps fucking squawking at me. And her voice is getting louder. She's like, you can't, no other stores allow you to just walk in and take apart their displays. And I went, I heard you. Like, you don't need to continue to berate me over this goddamn poster. So get the poster. And she's still fucking squawking as I'm walking away. So I rolled up the poster. We went, we checked out and scanned the stuff. And I was like, wow, manager's a little bit intense. And the girl just kind of kept scanning my stuff. And so walked out and I said, and Pearson, of course, was, I said, dude, I said, and I told him, I said, I told him to do it. Right. I said, this was my, I'm the adult. I made the decision. I said, Pearson, don't worry about that. I said, she overreacted. I said, there was no reason for her to act that way. I said, yes. Did we break a rule? I didn't know it was a rule, but it is what it is. So I did the only thing that I could think of, the only mature thing to do. Right. I just walked out, got in my truck and left, and then called the fire marshal of Norton Shores and said, hey, by the way, Five Below needs a drop in inspection because they have multiple aisles that do not meet fire code. And he said, you got it, chief. I'm on my way. And I said, I appreciate you. I'm kidding. I didn't actually do that, but
it'd be awesome if you did.
Who the fuck is? And I'm like, and like, I'm like she just kept repeating herself. Like, as if, like, do you think I'm not comprehending the words that are coming? Like, I understand what you're saying.
Hey,
you're being a CNX Tuesday and you need to knock it the fuck off.
Was it Katie? Was it Katie?
Katie who?
Bashotti.
Oh,
was she used to, you know, a man not listening to her?
No, I.
Katie is doing fantastic.
I'm sure. What is she going to school for? Nursing?
No.
Radiology.
No, she's just getting her associates from MCC.
I thought you told me she had a plan.
Well, at one time she wanted to do veterinary and stuff, and she found out that it was more than just putting down dogs. I stole that from Anthony Jess. I'm like, sorry. But,
so when you say putting down dogs, are you like, you're a really naughty dog. No one likes you.
He tells it. It's, I love that, that. He tells it. He's like, I wanted to be a vegetarian, yeah.
Joe Vassapolo says, I was late. Do we have any Valiverse news, Steve? I feel like he's preempting something.
Not yet. Okay. Yeah, there's something that could be very cool, but I'm not going to talk about it until I know what's really going to happen.
How do you have insider knowledge? You painting for him now, or what?
He reached out to me for something.
Oh.
Did he need you to do 10% of some input?
I'll tell you guys about it later. I don't want to say it and then not happen and then it's dumb.
All right.
So, okay. You know, it's not, you know, I think it might, it probably will, but it's pretty cool.
Okay.
But I'll tell you guys when it happens.
Fair enough.
So
no, Joe, he's not going to talk about it apparently. So, any other toy news?
Any other toy news? No, I was going to talk about the skull band that Travis got. Somebody, I can't remember exactly who got him for him. I think it's Jeff Granels.
Granels, yes.
Yes, I believe.
And what an awesome drawing that he sent
really,
with the figure.
Really cool.
That camera's, remember, there's nobody over there to switch it, Steve.
I know, I'm trying to get it over here. So I want to do the...
No, I was talking to Steve because he put it on the pedestal.
But they can still see it up there.
It's
still in a decent spot.
And that's ZoloCon exclusive, right?
ZoloCon exclusive Skull Man based on the old Warrior
Skull
Beast
Man.
Skull Man. I think this thing...
Skull Man based on Skull Man.
Yeah, but this is a way cooler Skull Man than the original
Skull
Man.
It's an awesome figure, dude. And it's great. I love how it's totally Four Horsemen, but it's the throwback, even with the logos and the lettering. You know, they used the old Skull Man, the old Warrior Beast stuff.
Yep.
It's cool.
I love it. I wish I could open it and play with it, but I can't because it's not mine. I did get one, but it's just not in my hands yet, thanks to Len LaGuardia. But... so I'm excited to get this.
Thanks to Len for not having it in your hands or for getting it for you.
I'm like, is he shitting on Len? Like, well, yeah, thanks to Len. I don't have it today.
No,
huge thanks to Len for securing me a figure.
If it came off like that, but. No, I was actually saying thank you.
I love how Len has a nice, full, luscious head of hair, but he still wears a bandana. He's not covering anything up, you know?
He's Hulk committed. Hogan. He's committed to the look.
Right. Yeah.
So, does he ride a motorcycle?
No.
I didn't think so. He looks like he could.
I think he'd be like, I don't know. Len's pretty He's pretty cautious about things. I think he'd be like, no, that's...
Do you think he's got, like... Do you think there's, a, like, a tie rack? Like a professional would have a professional... You know, all of his ties laid out by color on the back of his closet door, but his is all of his bandanas. You know what I mean? His wife lays out a shirt for him every day, and then he goes and picks the bandana that matches. I love that guy.
So Skullman's win. I guess that should take us into...
Thanks, UPS guy!
There we go. Anybody... Bill, you want to start?
We can. This is... I brought to... When I was coming in today, I wanted to have something, and this is actually something that's a little older. What? Transformer Ben? How old is this? 3 or 4 years old?
3 or 4, yeah.
Sorry, Ernest Vega says, I've been on for 15 minutes. I haven't heard Ben talk once. Makes Mike Smith sound like a chatterbox.
Ben's talked.
Oh, yeah. He's only been on for 15 minutes. He just
happened. So anyway, I wanted to bring something that would interest Ben, and also I could maybe get Steve to pose. And this is the Jetfire, Transformers Jetfire Siege War for Cybertron. And this figure is pretty awesome. It's not... anything new if you're into the Transformers, but it's
looks like
cool.
The articulation would be shit though.
Yeah, but
it's not. I mean, it's actually
I guess it's actually got like a shoulder ball and okay.
Yeah.
It's been laying here like completely like just flat like an old school Transformer. I didn't realize it
had. This is a toy that I bought from Travis basically when it came out. He got it from retail or a lot or whatever, and then I bought it, and it's been in a box until today. So I had Ben open it, and yeah, that's what I got.
What does it transform into, a space shuttle?
A jet.
Oh, okay.
So...
I was just judging based on color that it was a space shuttle. But.
Yeah, the reason why I bought it was that looks because it looks... silly. To me, it looks the most like the cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like the cartoon aesthetic... like an updated cartoon aesthetic figure.
Yeah. Yep.
And the masterpiece Jetfire is amazing. But this is a really nice figure that if you don't have masterpiece budget.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't pay a whole lot for him when I got it. He goes for a little bit now. But that's neither here nor there because I'll never get rid of him. I might not ever transform him. I'm looking at this page. There's 36 steps to transform it.
It's honestly, it's pretty easy. For as big as he is, and I mean, he's got some really nice shelf presence.
Hey, does anybody else want to watch Ben transform this thing? He just said it was really easy. I'm looking at this instruction manual in front of me going, is it upside down? What the fuck? You Transformer guys have always surprised me. I literally, when Pearson was into these, like, I bought them based on that big-ass number on the front of the package. 12 or less, or it's not going home with us, Pearson, because I'm not doing this.
Yeah,
I don't
you
have
know.
9 hours of YouTube to watch to transform
his
guy. You
know, did he get dad? To a point where he'd do it himself, and then the number got bigger?
Yeah.
All right.
And then it would be like, well, switch it back. Fuck you.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Comes
I don't like it in vehicle mode. Put it back.
All right.
Yep.
Actually, does have pretty good articulation. That's biggest.
It's good looking stance like that.
Biggest drawback is no ankle rocker, but
yeah,
it's not bad.
Pretty cool. Comes with some accessories, some flame effects, some blast effects. So I like it.
Maverick jumped in with something that nobody cares about and said, "I think Yolo Park Premium AMK figures are the way I'm
somebody
gonna collect Transformers."
See, this is why I knew it would be perfect. We got the poser over there. We got the expert right here.
Oh, I take it back. Look at this.
Steven is a poser.
Do you know what that is?
I mean, you just outposed him, but, you know.
He did, but I was afraid. I was trying to turn it down here. I didn't realize it.
Oh, sweet.
What'd you do?
Originally, in the cartoon, he was a Decepticon.
Oh.
Wasn't he a friend of Starscream?
Yep. He and Starscream were scientists together, and
he got lost on Earth for a millennia or whatever, and then the next time he met Starscream, Starscream's a Decepticon. He was a Decepticon, and then he decided he didn't want to be a bad guy, so he that chest emblem flips.
Oh, so it has I was trying to figure out what he did.
Yep, he has. There's a little thing right there. You can flip it from instead of being a sticker, it's actually a little part that flips, which is pretty sweet.
Curtis Ackerman with a super chat. Didn't know. Wow, Ben was a Transformers guy. looking for a cool defensor. Is there one out now or coming out that you'd recommend?
Funny you should ask that.
Funny you should ask, Alan. Pour me something.
Defensor is my favorite. Absolute favorite. And there's two third-party companies that are releasing their Defensor figs. And unfortunately, what happens in the third-party market is you get a figure, and you wait a year, and you get another figure, and you wait maybe a year, maybe 2 years. And so it can take a minute to get your combiner teams.
Is Defensor one that goes together? So like that's Devastator?
Yeah, so he's a combiner team, and it's the rescue vehicles. So the blue fire truck and
I have that.
The Coast Guard helicopter, ambulance,
Police motorcycle.
Police motorcycle, and then a police cruiser.
Didn't they do one in this line?
They did one in the Combiner Wars line.
Okay, which was right before this, right?
Which was before this. And it was good for an official Hasbro like toy product. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a toy. It was aimed at kids. It had the Combiner Wars gimmick and all that. But third-party companies, man, X-Transbots and MMC are coming out with their versions. And got to look them up. I've got the first two figures of the X-Transbots, and they have more of the realistic vehicle modes, and then MMC is more of the tune aesthetic, and they both. I don't know which one I'm going to wind up keeping.
Well,
or
if
just,
it's your favorite character,
keep
you
them
might
both.
Have both.
I'll probably just keep them both. But yeah, if I had to pick one gun to my head based on the early renders, probably going to be the MMC one. Okay. The combined mode looks really great, but damn, the vehicle modes for the X-Transbots look amazing.
All that handwork works really crazy. Huff. Pulls that little hole out.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
As you close it, it gives you a hole to put the gun handle in. Or put the.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Ah, oh, that's genius.
God damn it! I might need that too.
This?
Oh. No, not that. Defensor.
The Defensor. Yeah.
Which one are you looking at?
X Transbots.
Yeah, and that's the one with the more realistic modes.
Yeah.
So,
I'm a little bit upset, though, because the ladder on that truck wouldn't require a dual rear axle, but what are you going to do?
How did I open that before? There we go.
What is that?
Some sort of mask.
Oh. What is this?
A chest plate.
So, X-Transbot or MMK?
That gives them more of the aesthetic of the... what is this? The Siege for Cybertron aesthetic. So you can do both. You can do more of that classic cartoon aesthetic, or you can do what this toy line is showing you, which is a little more updated, a little more weapons.
July 9 says X Transbots. I've accidentally clicked on that site.
Well, really cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
For a non-masterpiece,
it's a hell of a lot different from laying straight and flat to getting up and working.
Yeah. Now, the other thing I have is huge.
That's the MMC.
Okay.
So we need to clear the table?
Yeah. Yes, we will need to clear this table.
Excuse me.
This box is about 20 pounds.
Give that a heft.
Jesus. It's a book?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Metaxas' new book.
Yeah. This thing is... so this is the...
We actually had him on the show years back.
We did?
Yep. The Omnibus hardcover for the artwork of G.I. Joe.
Artwork of G.I. Joe.
Oh, man.
And it's phenomenal.
It's a
beast.
How much
Holy
was this?
Holy cow.
This was 100 and...
There's my boy.
Yep. So it comes in an awesome, really nice packaging, a nice hard box for a hardcover book.
Well, that doesn't that... Yeah, let me see the box. The artwork on the front is from the carrying case.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, so it does mimic that. And then, this book is, it's massive.
What the fuck do you do with this thing?
This is...
It's like on the coffee table for people to flip through?
Yes, but you have to have like a 4-foot coffee table, right. Minimum.
And it can't be glass.
No.
Because this is a beef cake.
No, you drop it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and so inside the cover, I know you guys can't see this because Cody's not here because he sucks. It's essentially a photo collage of kids in the 80s holding
with
their Joes.
With their Joe toys.
Birthday, yeah. Christmas. That is freaking cool.
That's awesome.
And then Duke.
So this was kickstarted. If you go to 3D Joe's and you go there and it's on their site, you can order it. And I want to say it was like $100 and some odd, but it costs $25 or $50 to ship it. Because it's literally a brick. Hell. It's a brick, high quality paper. I'm just gonna flip into. And it's just.
What do you call these? The sleeve.
Slip cover. Yep.
Man.
So and then it's all just the artwork and it's all the information about it. And Steve, I know you're gonna love it.
I do love it already.
So some of these pages are gatefold. So you'll fold them out here, and it's all sorts of information.
Rudat.
It's just
right. That's Ron Rudat.
Yep. So it's just packed full, and for the price, this thing was over 700 pages. So for the price, for all the information and all the artwork and the quality of the pages,
you cannot
beat it. It might be my favorite G.I. Joe thing. I was telling in that message. I was talking to Steve about it. It might be my favorite G.I. Joe thing, and I used to have all these toys.
What a passion project from Ataxis.
Yeah.
Sorry, the book touched the thing and started playing music.
Book can't. It's just, book can't do anything.
Then you did it.
I must have done it. Some. Or there's a ghost.
But every piece of painted artwork, Carson was meticulous. He got. I listened to an interview with him on a different podcast.
Yeah.
Traitor.
Guilty as charged. he got all the original Kodachromes or all the stuff that he got to copy it because he wanted to make sure that the resolution on these prints. So he either has the original had the access to the original paintings, he had the original Kodachromes or film negatives or whatever on almost everything. And the reason why he needed that is because when he blows up all of this artwork, you don't want to see the pixelation. So all the photos you look at are just super crisp. Wow. And it's just I could just sit here for hours and just all the file cards are in here. So you can read every file card they ever had for the original run. You know, and it's all that box art. It's all is it Hector Greedo and there's a few other Earl Norm because he did some
did he do G.I. Joe work?
He does. There's some in here. There's I don't know if it's a whole lot, but he did do some of it. So it's just you look at all of it and it's just so fun. Like this is you talk about like scrolling Facebook as a time suck. Like you could sit in your living room and look at this and it's actually that
while just, your legs go numb.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's why you need the coffee table, because, if it's on your legs.
Man, this is really neat. Congratulations to Carson for putting this together. There's not anybody out there who wants to recognize the original people that brought this to life for us more than he does. He is an incredible historian.
Yeah, it is super duper
cool. Most of this is... if he has the information, he'll have the credits on the bottom. Like this is by Hector Greedo. But then, I mean, even as you get into later, right?
Yeah.
You just flip it and get
that box art, Mutt and Junkyard.
God, look how evil that dog looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, it's just yeah, it's I can't
broken down
gush.
By year?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yep. And it's, I mean, like I said, it's 700 and some odd pages. Like, it's just, it's massive.
The amount of hours that went into
that smell,
collecting all of this.
That fresh print smell. Like, quality. Like, the paper, like, you feel the paper. It's, you know.
This thing's legit.
This is what I love. Like, super high quality images of the packaged toys with the artwork. And then it doesn't need the cross-sell information on it, but it has all the... all the corresponding file cards, which Larry Hama wrote almost all of these.
Right. Oh, this is beautiful.
So awesome.
Yeah, it makes me want one really bad.
Get on it.
I can't believe you don't have one.
Oh, it was kickstarted, and our very own Jason Boonstra is listed as credits for all the Kickstarter supporters.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't remember him saying anything about it in any kind of our groups or anything, but our group chats or even at shows. And he probably did. You know, but that guy, he's Boonstra gets around in toy circles.
Yeah. What, Micronauts?
This is crazy.
That's
it's just
beautiful.
The art is so beautiful.
It's the
hand painted.
Right.
We're looking
And it's the copy, right?
Right.
So the quality of this, like if you're going to take that original, this is what he was explaining in the other podcast. It was a Joe on Joe podcast. So if you go back and you go to that feed on Joe on Joe, he has a pretty good, it's, I don't know, less than an hour. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the quality of what he got access to make the copy, the print copy, that's where all the magic is. Is because if you could just take I could take my phone and take a picture of the original card art,
sure.
But as you blow it up, it does that pixelation, you lose all that detail. So
great hand drawn art, probably by
George Woodbridge.
Yeah,
that's a Polar Assault presentation art. So it's just chock full of, as much as there is, you know, beautiful artwork in it. There's a lot of information. About, you know, product information and prototype stuff and how it came about, which that's what I love, right? All the information on the file cards. Like, I love that just as much as the art.
Well, according to Mini B, there's like a three-disc Blu-ray coming out with like 40 hours of
interviews and
something coming out. That's pretty awesome.
That's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, there it is.
That was the Sears exclusive, I think. Was it Sears?
Yep,
right there in the corner.
Yep.
I have it.
With the, they called it SMS at that time, but, you know, and there's a write-up all about it. It's funny, I can't even really tip this up to show the camera, because it's a 20-pound book.
Well, we could be really careful and do, well, like this. Well, I don't want to, like, I mean, we can show it. I don't know if they can kind of see.
Yeah. Thanks again, Cody.
Yeah, thanks, Cody.
But it's just all, right. All of the stuff. So that's what I got.
I'm sold.
Really cool. Damn. What's the availability going to be like post Kickstarter? This isn't something when you're like, hey, can you print me two more? Hey, I need three more copies.
Right.
I mean, this is legit.
So he had about 8,000 copies. 4,000 went to the Kickstarters, and there's somewhere in that number now. Left 4,000, you know, the balance.
Okay.
But
what's the post Kickstarter price tag?
A lot, like $500,000 or $250,000 to reprint, to go reprint it. So it's probably, I mean, unless something unexpected happens.
But you can buy this now.
I'm sorry.
Oh yeah.
What is the retail cost for the customer? That the non Kickstarter price. I'm assuming it's more.
Expensive. Oh, it's go on. Let's see if I can get on there. I want to say it's like a $150-$175 plus shipping.
But even then, for this,
you're a big Joe fan and you don't know about this, or
I'm impressed that he sold 4,000 copies on Kickstarter.
Well, I think the Kickstarter price obviously was lower.
Well, right, but
right,
even then,
you had to get it funded. But yeah,
I mean, this is.
But yeah, I don't know.
You know,
this feels like $200 worth of paper.
It's easily,
you know?
That. It's easily that. It's probably more than
cow.
That. Jinx. There you go.
Yep.
Crystal Ball.
Card art.
Crystal Ball takes a lot of heat because he's kind of a dumb character, but look at his art. It's awesome.
He's got like pirate boots and a creepy mustache. It looks like mine.
I love him. Looks like he belongs to the Village People.
He is a macho, macho man.
Yeah, this is really cool, Bill.
Apparently, Joe on Joe's a great podcast. They actually talk about toys on it.
We've been talking a lot of toys today.
That happens.
No, actually, you know what? They don't talk about a lot of toys. It's all about G.I. Joe. But yeah, if you're a G.I. Joe person, you would like that podcast.
Is the host named Joe?
Yeah, Joe Slepsky.
Okay.
So, oh yeah, he's a creative dude.
Joe on Joe.
So here.
All right.
3D Joe.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I love it, man.
That is a chunk.
Okay. What do we got here? It's 150
with free shipping.
Well, they're doing free shipping? So, yeah, it's $150 for the book. It's $30 for the DVD Blu-ray pack.
Did you get that?
No. I might go back there and do that.
I think that'd be interesting as hell.
That's one of those things, if you want to just nerd out about that stuff.
Did you get the art prints?
Yeah, they're right here. That's one thing I would say if I was going to critique it, is you got to be real careful with folding up your gatefold pages.
Yeah, you got to be careful with those or you're going to have them all creased. And
my wife was like, you let the kids play with these toys, you don't let them look at this book? I said, no.
No.
I'll let them play with the toys. I'll let them play with the...
Let them look at it as long as you're turning the pages.
Right. 40-year-old toys, I'll let them play with those. Uh-huh. This book, no. Came with all these prints. These are the prints it came with. So this half of these prints were selected by the backer's choice, and then these were the editor's choice.
And they're
all individual.
They're all prints.
They're all free of each other. I mean, they're not bound.
Yeah.
Together.
Oh, they're not bound up, right? So you can frame it. Yep. You go get them matted and framed. And and it's heavy duty. It's like almost like poster stock or whatever.
It's legit for sure.
Or postcard stock is that probably what I'm thinking.
So what did they pick?
Oh, there's Spirit. Oh, that is so cool. Look at his gun with his darts in it.
Sidetrack. Somebody posted that meme where the guy's thinking, he's sitting with his wife, mm-hmm. and it says, "What's wrong?" And he's like, "A fire truck's really a water truck." That made me laugh today.
I sent that to Brian McKelly.
Did you? Fire truck is really a water truck.
You know what he said to me? What? You can buy our next fire truck out of your water fund then.
Jerk. The one he just got was, what, $650?
I know.
So, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was a demo.
Beautiful.
That's going to be fun.
I was not expecting this to be $150. I was thinking like...
$200,
$300.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out... Came in that box, and then that box was in a cardboard box, and that box was in a cardboard box. So they ship it to you real...
Making sure that it
arrives. That price you pay for shipping is... It's worth it, because it came...
Yeah, it says free shipping.
These posters, were they just... That was just Kickstarter bonus, or are these still available too, do you know?
No, so they all came together. So when you buy the omnibus...
This comes?
Yep, this is it. It was all together.
Wow.
So I just paid the $150 plus the $25...
Is I would be inclined to want to frame some of these,
mm-hmm.
but then I feel like then my book isn't complete.
Right. But here's the thing. For what you get, for the value of everything, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to buy two. Right? I buy two figures, and it's... I'm just like, in my head, it's still back there. Like, maybe I buy another one and just... But that's me. I'm Joe Crazy Bill. Like, I'm just like...
Yeah, that is awesome. All right, let's move on.
Hold on, I have one quick thing I want to look at. 24
prints. Oh, yeah.
Yep. So 24 prints, if you were to... Oh, make sure I don't fold those over incorrectly. I mean, even at $5 a piece... You know, that's $125
just for the prints.
Just for prints.
Yeah.
You know,
and then it's 700 pages of awesome.
Jeez, oh, peas.
Well, 712 or seven. Some it's crazy.
Yeah, that thing is a beast. That's very cool.
If you go right to 3djoes.com, it's got all that. It's the omnibus, whatever.
And Maverick is even saying here now. The Star Wars collection of Ralph McQuarrie is $300.
Yeah.
If his information is correct.
And that's just Carson. You know, when you guys know, I've heard the interview when you guys had it. That guy just likes Joe.
Oh, he's crazy.
Right. But he wants everybody to know about it. right? It's like he's He comes. He's like come to your door what is that? I'm thinking of a. They come in a suit. They come to your door.
Vacuum
suit.
That traveling salesman.
Not a traveling salesman per se, but when they want to
ship.
Yes, he's a Joe. That's
what I. Joe Holmes.
Right, he wants people to know about this stuff.
He wants to spread the word.
He wants to spread the word of G.I. Joe. Yep.
This is the book. This is the Bible from the Church of the Latter-day Saints.
So. Awesome. Well, I got a big honking Michaela I'm going to put up here. Mahala. All
right. Mahala?
Yeah. So I don't want to put it on your book. I don't think it would hurt it, but
no. Oh, are we going Mondo, Steven?
We're going Mondo.
We're going Mondo, ladies and gentlemen. Well, lady and gentlemen. Maverick and gentlemen.
Oh, there he is.
Let me get him in order here.
Beast Man. Yeah. Holy shit. Strange to me that the cape is fur, but the body is not.
We'll talk about that.
Does he smell?
Yeah.
Beastman didn't have a smell, did he?
No. I thought you meant, does he smell like...
It smells like vinyl.
Like vinyl.
Oh, no, I was thinking of anywhere. I couldn't remember.
Was it?
It was Mossman and Stinkor that had smells, right?
Yep.
Yes. So this is the Mondo Beastman.
Is this Mythic adjacent?
And that is a beast, man.
I was on the fence about this guy.
Why?
I wasn't sure I liked the fact that his armor's got fur on it and the rest of them doesn't. I almost wanted them to have sculpted fur. His proportions in pictures, because he was always standing straight up. I didn't know if I was a fan. But Beastman is pretty much my favorite MOTU villain, so I'm like, if he comes out great and I didn't get him, I'm going to be pissed, so I'm just going to get him. And I'm glad I did, because I think I love this thing.
Price tag?
$260, maybe?
That's not bad for what it is, man.
You say $216 or
$260?
Oh, okay.
I think. Comes with...
Is that the House of 1,000 Corpses face?
House of 1,000, this guy?
Did that look like that clown from...
A little bit. Is it Sid?
Yeah, Sid.
Well, fuck you very much.
You got some heads here. Like, this is like more based on the actual original toy.
Oh, yeah.
It looks pretty good. Not the one I'm going to use. Multiple hands.
Those hands are huge.
Those hands are huge.
The scabbards for the scabbards, gauntlets for the arms, they're almost the size of a vintage G.I. Joe.
These are for his shins.
Oh, those are shins. Okay.
I could wear these.
You could wear them. In case you fall off another scooter.
They look okay. I don't like them. Why? I like, huh?
Why not?
I don't, they make his legs look clunky, and the original Beastman didn't have them. I think it's just too much for me.
But you have those options, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like I like how they make him... He's, like, crazy, and his one eye is snarly, and his other eye is a little wild.
Yeah, his... Yeah.
That expression is pretty cool.
Yeah, Maverick, that's exactly what it is. Maverick just pointed out that his pokes are because I like him. Well, yeah. That's what we do. When I quit making fun of you, Maverick, you know I hate you. Legends Collector 1321 says... Beast Man is my only Mondo so far. He shot straight to potential figure of the year. They're going to have to do something crazy with Mossman to beat it for me. So I'm assuming that's the next release as Mossman?
They haven't renounced Mossman at all. There's a bunch of them in front of them. There's Teela coming. There's.
You think they'll make him smell like patchouli? Is that a turkey leg?
Yeah, or it's a gooble.
It might be an actual plastic chicken leg.
It's a gooble. Meat that they used.
Roast Gooble Dinner was a podcast, right?
Yeah.
Who was on that?
Pixel Dan.
Was it Nate March?
March.
Okay. Heavy hitters.
Regular. Glarter, Emo Donahue at one point.
It looks like Liliano a fucking brain.
It does.
So well, yeah, just, no,
it's cool
like
though.
Took a chunk out of it. This guy is awesome. One of his coolest features is whip.
That whip.
This is
whips and chains, handcuffs.
Is it wired?
My belt. It's completely
wired.
Awesome.
So you can just play with
it. I like from here. Ooh, looks like there's some metallic to it.
The whip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like sheen. There's sheen in it.
A little bit of a sheen to it. Yeah.
Charlie
sheen. I bet if in real life it would feel real good whipping across your skin. Because I'm assuming the sheen is to make you think it's a little bit like braided cable. Right?
Or leather. Like, yeah. To give that, like, shiny.
Yeah.
Like, I just cool. love how thick
just,
it is.
Just rip your leather.
This
rip
is
your
not
skin.
Plasticky feeling. This feels like it's actually some sort of thread.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It you definitely know? Is. I mean, you get it in here. It's got a little bit of a fuzz to it, so it's definitely...
Nice.
So, it's realistic looking. It poses great. It's a heavy wire.
Is this the first action figure you had that actually came with its own food?
I'm not sure.
That alone should make it, like... Tops.
This goblin is cool. I don't know.
It is cool.
It's just cool.
For yeah. sipping the blood of your enemies?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a goblin or a chalice? I think that's more of a chalice.
Could be.
I have no idea.
He also comes with a couple things I didn't bring. He comes with a gun. Maybe that's the only thing I didn't bring. I can't remember, but I left that right in the packaging. So, but now I will say, when this guy comes... This takes some serious heat. He is stiff as heck when I got done breaking him loose.
So listen up, people from the Cabal.
Yes.
If you believe this is mythic adjacent, you will need to do some heat.
And I've already seen some people post. They're like, do his hips not move? Yes, they move. You have to take that. First, here's what you do. I'm going to give you a quick rundown. If you want to get this guy really going. And if you get a really stiff one. Not everybody has had to do this, I don't think, but...
If you're lucky enough to get a really stiff one, that's what she said.
Get a hair dryer and get that head off. You're probably going to need a hair dryer to get it off. I did. And then remove that armor, that fur, so you can get to his torso and then heat the bejesus out of him.
I can either confirm or deny. Just throw him in the microwave. Make sure the chain is not in there. Just put him in the microwave, like 30 seconds on medium, like you're thawing fish or something.
Like
no.
Like you're thawing Google.
Google.
Or is it Google or Gobel?
Like
Google.
Like the old lady just forgot to get something out of the freezer, and you're like, you just get home, you got to get it out quick, thaw it out.
It's one of those things in the cartoon, you see him with a plate of meat, and they're like, this is good Google.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know what it is. So, yeah, he's super cool. Mondo is killing it. I don't know if I think... The cats were amazing, so I don't know if this beats the cats, but it's right there with them.
Well, were the cats last year?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, you could still go figure the year on this.
Could.
So, that's a smooth joint. But probably plugging it in might be tough, but it articulates well.
Yeah, once you get them free. Once you get it free, and I had a hell of a time getting that off. Because that's the hand that came on him.
Yeah.
And I changed, I swapped.
When you Google Google, it just comes up the podcast.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. So, a win for me. Love it. Do you have anything?
I don't have anything.
No?
No.
Couple of, not very many things, but a couple pretty serious heavy hitters. Mm-hmm. High price, high quality, both the book and this figure. That's...
Did not know he was coming. Did not get a
little bit of pleather.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Velcro.
Is it? Or it not? Or is the glue coming loose?
It looks like the glue came loose.
Looks like his skirt's gonna fall off.
Oh. Do you have somebody at home that can sew and put a little Velcro on there?
Oh yeah. I do. My mom.
It's him.
Yeah, it's him.
Oh, that's shit. Is that a show then?
I think that's a show. We're at 2 hours and 14 minutes.
Nice.
I did it.
Well, we always miss Jeremy and Trav and Cody. But Ben, Bill, thanks for stepping in and filling it out. And
you bet.
Actually giving people...
It was fun.
What is this?
Welcome to my wife is going to
kill
me
tonight.
It's been a while.
You're bringing his hands, Ben.
All right. I'm interested in a picture.
Oh, episode 310, a special guest. Thanks again for coming out. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. We appreciate the interaction. Make sure you check out Shooting the Shelf tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Just Shelve It YouTube channel, where I will be a special guest. Stephen Bisciotti, our host, special guest, Joe.
I had lasers in my mouth today.
Still, all these jokes. It's been a decade, Bill.
Yeah.
Bill Crazy Joe, Scooter Shortmidge, of course. I am Pete McCarthy. And until next time, we'll see you guys in the toy aisle.
Also, check me out on YouTube later this week.